जयं विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभयचरणारविंद भक्तवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शैल प्रभुपाद की जयं नथलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शैल प्रभुपाद की आनंद गौरी वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य शिल हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की हेमनमाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namami Shubhadaya Krishna Prasaya Budhali Srimali Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namini. Namaste Saraswadeve Gauravani Prajarini. Nirvisheshunyavadi Paschati Deshadharini. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसारसागरे मग्नं दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगं मामुद्धर भवार्णवान् श्रीमद्भागवदाख्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोर्सव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःखशमनं तं नमामि हरिं परं जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्वयादिदरद चार्थेष्वभिज्ञस्वराद् तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरया तेजो वायुमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं वरं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्जितकैदवोत्रपरमो नर्मत्सराणां सदां वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनं श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किमापरैश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुद्यदेत्रकृतिभि शुश्रूषुभि तत्क्षणा निगमकल्पतरोगलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबद भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहो रसिकाभुविभावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपायां शोल्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमा यं प्रव्रजन्तम् अनुवेदमवेदकृत्यं त्वय्वायनो विरहगादयमाजुहवां पुत्रेति तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमदितिदीर्षदां तमोन्धम् संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये मनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भतां मुरारे मधुरीं न कणिकापि कापि कापि नमाम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमती भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिनि నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవిం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశదారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమ వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణూమభీష్ట యాసాం హరిగదో గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమాణవే నమ పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణా సముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాళయేశమనిశం హృది భావయామి కోమళం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారక వేదవేద్య పరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాం పురతో మమ ఊరం కరోతి వాచాలం కంగుం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమ సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద శ్రుతయ ఊచు జయ జయ జహ్యజామజిదోషగృభీతగుణాం తమసి యదాత్మనాం సమవరుద్ధ సమస్తభగా అగజగదోగసాం అఖిలశక్తి అవబోధగతే కుచిదజయాత్మనా చచరదో నుచరే నిగమాః బృహదుపలబ్ధమేదవయంద్యవశేషతయా యద ఉదయాస్తమయో వికృతేర్ముదివా వికృతాత్ అదహృషయో దధుస్త్వయి మనోవచనాచరితం కథమయథా భవంతి భువి దత్తపదాని నృణాం ఇది తవ సురయాం ఇది తవ సూరయస్త్రధిపదే అఖిలలోకమల క్షపణ కథామృతాబ్ది అవగాహ్య తపాంసి జహో కిముదపునా సుధామం అవిధుదాశయకాలగుణాం పరమభజందియే పరమం పదం అజస్రసుఖానుభవం ద్రుతయమివ శుసంధ్యసుమృతో యది ధేనువిధ మహదహమాదయో అండమసృజన్యదనుగ్రహద పురుషవిధోన్వయోత్ర చరమో నమయాదిషుయా సదసద పరం త్వమధం యదేషో అవశేషమృతం ఉదరముపాసదేయ హృషివర్మసుకూర్పదృశాః పరిసరపద్ధతిం హృదయమారుణయోదహరం తద ఉదగాదనందతవధామ శిరపరమం పునరిహయత్ సదమే సమేత్య నపతంతి కృతాంగముఖే సుహృద విచిత్రయోనిషు విశన్నివహేదుదయా తరదమదశ్చాగస్త్య అనలవన్ సుకృదానుకృతీ అధ విదదాసుముష్వవిత్వం తవ ధామ సమం విరజయోన్వయంద్యభి విపణ్యవ ఏకరసం. సో వి సా దిస్ ఫస్ట్ టూ వర్సెస్ ఫ్రమ్ ది శృతి గీత వేర్ శృతీస్ ఆర్ గ్లోరిఫైయింగ్ కృష్ణ యాస్ ది అంతర్యామి ఇన్ సైడ్. సో వి ఆల్సో సా యెస్టర్డే that in the this body what we are concerned about, normally we feel that somewhere there is presence of the soul inside, somewhere inside there is the presence of the soul. But as we gave this example of the pot and the sky, sky is not in the pot, but pot is in the sky. Pot is in the sky. Actually, only sky exists. We will have to say pot doesn't exist, because pot, when it's broken, it loses its form and it dissolves in the earth. So, there again, the every particle in the, when you break down the pot, every particle there is presence of the sky also. Similarly, although in our bodily experience we may assume that the soul is present somewhere within the body, we may assume that the soul is present somewhere within the body. Realized soul says to us that that this understanding of the presence of the soul within the body actually is a unbroken thing. It's not broken. We feel as though it's broken. Why? Because we have identification with the body. That's why we feel the presence of a individual soul inside in that way. Soul is present everywhere. And that anubhavam, that experience of aham, aham, aham inside, ahamasmi, that is akhandam. That means unbroken it is. And that is, and whatever name we call that, Ishvara Swarupam, Krishna Swarupam, or Narayana Swarupam, or whatever it is, whatever you may call it, but that is what you hear, that Swarupam of Krishna is what is manifesting here as aham aham inside everyone. So, that Brihad Ubalabdham, that Brihad it is. Brihad means it's all pervading. All pervading and Ubalabdham, it's available to us also. And how do we experience that? When we remove everything else, what it is not, and avasheshataya brihadubalabdhameva medad avayandi avasheshataya. So everything, when we have moved away, when we taken out body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, if you remove all of them, then what is remaining? The remainder. This is the only process. Little by little, through our own process of analysis, it should come to our own realization, and that we will understand, that we will realize it in many ways. From many ways you will take the indication from various things and understand that I am not this body, body is not mine, and I have no freedom within this body. And this body is mine itself is a mystery, isn't it? It's a mystery. We have discussed that yesterday. In Prakriti, it has occurred, or it has grown up in the material nature, in Prakriti. If that is the case, who am I then? I have come out of the womb of my mother and came out and started growing. And then started changing, changes started happening. Then it started deteriorating, and then the decay and the death. So these six changes that is happening in the body, namely what they call in the Shastram is Jayate, Asti, Vardhiyate, Vibaranamiyate, Apakshiyate, Nashyate. Six things. Jayate, it takes birth. Asti, it's a same sometime. And then Vardhiyate, it starts growing. Viparanamiyade, it start changing. Abakshiyade, it start destroyed, it start getting destroyed, and eventually death, nashyate. So, so these things, what is called as shadbhava vikaram, the six changes that is happening in the body is for the body. And in this body, you can see here, that even when we have any emotions that develops within this body, that means that when we move from boyhood to youthhood, and youthhood similarly childhood to boyhood, and all stages when the body is continuously changing, but those changes that is happening inside is unknown to us. Isn't it? Just like from childhood to boyhood, that nature changes in us from childhood to boyhood, isn't it? That is not in our knowledge. It happens in us. Where does it come? It was not planned by us. We have no control over it. when the child becomes a boy, naturally, or a young girl, naturally the changes that is happening in the boy or a girl is not carried out by that person. It now happens automatically in that person. And similarly, when the from boyhood to youthhood, all other changes that is happening in the body, in the mind, that different kinds of emotions develops inside, pride develops, lust develops, and so many things, kamam, all other things develops in him. Who is organizing all these things? Nobody is doing it himself. It is just arranged by the material nature. So, similarly, when the body is growing, it grows in size, it gets bigger and taller and taller. How does that happen? If we are this body, even the changes that is coming, happening in this body, either we are not able to know it, not even through any one of the senses. Not one of the senses are able to know that this change is happening. Of course, we see it after the change has happened. Or we notice it when there are certain emotions have come in us afterwards. But who is behind it? That these emotions are changing emotions and changing the nature of the body. Who is engineering it behind? That is material nature. Prakriti is doing that, isn't it? Because if it is coming through any of the senses, we should notice that, isn't it? But we don't know it. We don't know about it. So only by keeping a photograph or a mirror in front of us, we will know that what is the changes that has happened in our body. So similarly, if I have to remember anyone in this world, I can only remember that person through the form, isn't it? The form appears first of that person. But on the other hand, if I have to remember about myself, I don't need my form. It's awareness. It's awareness, isn't it? So, if you think about yourself, you can see this, that when you are remembering about somebody else, you are always remembering the form of the other person. But when you are remembering about yourself, straight away you go back into awareness, your awareness, isn't it, about yourself. That you don't need a form at that time. I don't need to remember my form, but I am conscious of myself. But as far as somebody else is concerned, I have to know that that form must appear within me, must appear within me. So in one case, the important point here is, as far as I am concerned, I don't need the form. Somebody else is concerned, I need the form to remember. Otherwise, it's not possible. I can't remember someone without somebody else's form within me, isn't it? As soon as you think about somebody else, the first thing that will appear in your mind is your form. But you cannot forget yourself at any time. You cannot forget yourself any time. Actually, remembering to talk about that I remember about myself, to say that itself is a foolish thing. Because at any time, my own experience of me is never comes with my form, is it not? Suppose if you are thinking about yourself, never it occurs to you about your form. Awareness is before the form. Form, if you want to think about, you look into the mirror and see the form. Or you have to take the initiative to know about your own form. Otherwise, your form is not important for you. For you, what is important is your awareness. Awareness, as long as you have the awareness of about yourself, you are not too concerned about anything else. Whereas in others' case, if it has to come to you, that you have to remember that form of the person. So then what are we experiencing at that time? That when you are experiencing yourself without form, what exactly is it? What exactly is it that we have not given any attention? That's the only problem. in everybody else's case, we have analyzed it and we remember that I remember everybody else in this world through their form. But when it comes to my own situation, I don't need that form. I can remember myself, or I am aware of myself without the form. So that is why it mentions here, Brihad Ubalabdhamedam Avayandi Avasheshadaya. That line is indicating all these things. That means Ubalabdham means you have got yourself. How did you get yourself? Avayandi Avasheshadaya. That means separating everything out from them. We have to analyze in this way. This is how the sages tells us to think about us. Normally, nobody thinks in these directions, isn't it? We don't think in this way anytime. We take it for granted. Others, we see the form and we react, relate with them. As far as we are concerned about our own form, we never bother. Because we are always conscious of our awareness. Awareness is there. But Upanishads are saying, Brihat Ubalabdhim, that Ubalabdhi is already available there in the form of this awareness. So, and that thing is Akhandam. Akhandam means unbroken. Brihat Ubalabdham Edat Avayandi Avasheshadaya. It's an infinite thing. It's an infinite thing. We don't know that. But Rishayo Viduhu. Rishayo Viduhu. It says in the third line. Rishis know this thing. How do they know that? Because they did not look outward, they looked inwards. That's how they came to know that. They kept giving attention to their own awareness. That's what the rishis did. They shifted their attention and they went inward looking and they started giving attention about this awareness. How come that I can only see everyone else through the form, but everyone else I can only see through the form, but I am concerned I don't need a form. I can see myself through the awareness. Isn't it? That's a big change, isn't it? We have taken notice of that. Everyone else in this world, I need to have a form to remember a person. But as far as remembering me is concerned, I don't need my form. All I need is that awareness, which is constantly there all the time, which is present there. So, that's why Brihad Ubalabdham. That thing is already we have. Every one of us have got it. So, first of all, we have to see this amazing thing about our own existence. Like yesterday we talked in detail about the body, the mind, intelligence, ego, how none of them has anything is affecting us, but consciousness is always a thing that is with us. Not the mind, not the intelligence, not the ego, not the brain or whatever, memory, nothing like that. It's only the awareness that is constantly with us. So, this one thing is an important thing, because this is where we see that there is something very special about ourselves. We ourselves have to know about ourselves, that there is something special about this situation. That I am able to, this awareness in me is always present there, which can never be separated from me at any time. Whereas other forms, names and forms in this world, they may come and they may go. They may not stay within me. But this one thing about my own awareness, my own existence, astitvam or awareness, is always present within me. So, rishis, the sages are telling us that take notice of this and start looking in that way. If you start, and seeing that, you should be amazed. Why is it like that, created in this way? Why is it created in this way? Because we are getting amazed by various other things, isn't it? So, one scientist like Isaac Newton got amazed by when the apple fell from the tree. But why they did never got amazed by this one thing, phenomenon inside us? They got amazed by so many things happening in the world, is it not? The scientist, they are getting amazed by so many things, either when they discover new planets, Or when they went into the space and there was no law of gravity, and all kinds of things, all nature's laws, they got amazed by all that. And that is how various scientific discoveries have come about. But never once they thought in this direction, that this awareness within me is independent and is always present, and I don't need a form to remember me, unlike I want to remember about somebody else. They were never amazed by that. So everything they have come about, they have found out in this way. So those who got amazed or surprised by this one phenomenon are called rishis. Rishis are that. Only that means they got surprised, they got shocked by this revelation. That when they looked inwards, they found this one big difference. That they were, everything else they saw in this world, they may or may not be aware till they see that particular form or particular activity. Otherwise, they cannot connect with that. But about themselves, they notice that they don't require any external support to become conscious of that. That their awareness was there all the time, in other words. Such a person, one who looked inwards and got himself surprised by that, he is a rishi or a jnani. He is called a rishi or a jnani. That means, when one sees inside and seeing one's own mind, and when one sees amazed by that, that he becomes a tattvajnani. That means he becomes a tattvajnani. So, that is why it says, Brihad ubalabdham etad avayandhyavasheshadayam. Brihad ubalabdham. That means, ubalabdham means what he has got it. What has he got? Astitvam, his awareness that he exists. And his existence. That itself we should see, because it is a very special thing. That my own existence is something you cannot take it out from me. Nobody can take it out. Each one of us. Our existence, you cannot take it out. You can kill my body. You can do so many things to me. But you can never destroy my existence. My existence. So, we are not experiencing ourselves, not the way the others are seeing us. Isn't it? About ourselves, we are not experiencing it, not the way others are seeing it, isn't it? Because we give a lot of importance for seeing. That's where the problem has come. We give a lot of importance for seeing, but we have to see Krishna, but Krishna is not a person for seeing. Krishna is not a person for seeing, Krishna is a person for experiencing. Krishna is not a person for seeing. We give importance for seeing, isn't it? What they say, seeing is believing. That's why, if you see something, you'll only believe it. But that's not necessary that it is the reality. So, seeing and believing and all that has no value from the rishi's point of view. Rishis found out, experiencing is more important than seeing. That's the first thing. Experiencing something inside is more important than seeing. You may see something, but it may be false thing. It's not necessarily that it is the, just like they give the example that you are seeing the sun planet from here, just like a big disk, isn't it? Size of probably a size of a light like that. That's how much you can see from here. But everybody knows, the scientist also says, that sun is so many times bigger than this earthly planet. Similarly, many stars in the sky. So seeing is very, you cannot trust seeing. But experiencing is the reality. So therefore, the rishi says that they gave importance to the experience inside rather than seeing anything outside. So, for all knowledge, everything, the seat for that is this awareness. It's this awareness. It's from this awareness everything is coming. All other knowledge, memory and brain, mind, everything is coming from this awareness. Awareness is that Chit Shakti's prasaram it is. It's a ray of Chit Shakti, isn't it? The source is the same. Awareness coming from that source. All other things are also coming from the same source. So, but that awareness is one, what we have, compared to all other things, is more important. That awareness of our existence. Awareness of our existence is more important than anything else, because all other senses, even the mind, intelligence, ego, that all can go, but awareness won't go. That's why it's more important. You see how deeply the rishis have thought about this. You can see from that, isn't it? How deeply they must have gone in to analyze in such a subtle level. To give importance to consciousness and awareness more than the mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything. Because they have compared all of it and they found that this awareness is the one which is more important than anything else, because that is a permanent one, always staying with us. And they have also found out the source of that awareness is that Chit Shakti inside, or Antaryami, from where everything else is coming from. All of them are coming from the same source, but this one particular aspect, awareness, avabodham, it is called, that is the most valuable one out of all that. That you cannot see, you have to experience that, isn't it? Avabodham is experienced, awareness is inexperienced. So, that is why it is mentioned here that ubalabdham, that is that word ubalabdham refers to. Prahlada says exactly the same thing. What did he say? If you look into the seventh canto, you will see what Prahlada says about that. That verse is, out of all Prahlada's instructions, if you look that, that verse is the most important verse. Prahlada mentions there in the seventh canto, Sixth chapter, verse 19. Nahi achyudam prinayato bahvayaso asuralmajaha almatval sarvabhudanam siddhatvadiha sarvada. If you remember that verse, it's very good. We must remember that verse. It is the instruction to the children, his friends. To them, Prahlada is telling them that after talking about Krishna, he says, Nahi achyudam prinayato bahuva yaso asuralmaja. O children of Asura, Prahlada says, I am an Asura and all my friends are also Asuras. There is no problem with that, he says. But it's not very difficult to please Krishna. Achyuta is Krishna. Nahi achyudam prinayato bahu ayasam asuralmaja. It doesn't require a lot to please Krishna. Prahlada's words. Nahi achyudam prinayato bahu ayasam asuralmaja. It doesn't require a lot of effort. Why? Atmatval sarvabhudanam. He is present inside as the soul of everybody. Atmatval sarvabhudanam. And what else? He is present, he is. And that presence inside, we have got it as awareness. Siddhatva liha sarvada. Siddhatva means we have got it. That's the only thing we have got about Krishna's presence inside, isn't it? Krishna's presence inside, we have got it in the form of awareness, avabhodam. As we mentioned before, two things, avabhodam and anandam. Avabhodam is available to us. That Krishna is not kept away from us, avabhodam. That is given to us. So therefore, all times this awareness is inside, we have to give our attention, shraddha towards that. Our attention should be on that awareness inside. That is what the message is. The rishis, they looked at everything. They looked at the body, they looked at the mind, they looked at the intelligence, they looked at the memory, they looked at the brain, everything they knew, all these things did exist. They looked at themselves And they went inward looking and looking and deeper level. Then they realized it. This one thing called awareness or consciousness that's coming from the source, this is the most important of all. And that is why that he says here, Almatval Sarvabhudanam Siddhatvaliha Sarvada. He mentions that. Prahlada says this. Prahlada was in the womb of Kayadhu when Narada Maharshi spoke to him, isn't it? Narada Maharshi spoke to Kayadhu and he's sitting inside Kayadhu's, inside Kayadhu, Prahlada heard everything and it worked for him. Because this message went in, when he came out, he was realized. Almatvar sarabhunanam siddhatva liha sarvada. When he came out, the message was so clear, therefore no disturbed at all afterwards. And that is why we find all the changes in Prahlada. And in the next chapter, you will see, 7th chapter, continuation of the same instructions. There are a lot of things he has spoken there, talking about family life and life in this world and sinful activities, all kinds of things he has spoken. But this one important point, Almatval Sarvabhudanam Siddhatvaliha Sarvada, one thing. And then he, if you look into his realizations from in the inside Kayadhu, that's what he is talking. Paravareshu Bhudeshu, after that verse 20. Paravareshu Bhudeshu Brahmandastavaradeshu Vaudhigyashu Vikareshu Bhudeshu Adhamahal Suja Guneshu Gunasamyaja Gunavidigare Tatha Ega Eva Varo Alpa Bhagavan Ishwaro Avyaya Ega Eva Paro Hyalpa Bhagavan Ishwaro Avyaya. Alma's position is explaining there again. Then he says, Pratyagalpa Sarubena Drishya Rubena Jaswayam Avyavaka Nirdesho Anirdesho Avigalpidaha. 22nd. Then he says, Kevalana Bhavananda Surubam Parameshwaraha Mayaya Andarhideshwarya Iyade Gunasargayaha Tasman Sarved Bhuteshu Dayam Kurda Sauhadam Asuram Bhavayan Machya Eya Tushyadi Adokshajam. So from verse 19 to 24, which are very important verses in that, that is the tattvam of the instruction. The tattvam of instruction. Instruction starts from verse 1, Prahlada Vaja onwards. But this is the tattvam of the instruction. Other things are in relationship with create vairagyam in us. He has spoken other things about our family life and that you spend a lot of your time in the sleeping and things like that, what he has spoken. But when it comes to tattvam, it is these verses from 19th onwards. So, and then in the next chapter also, he indicates certain things, isn't it? That is about body changing. Verse 18. He says, Janmadya shadime bhavo drishta dehasya nalpana bhalanamiva vrikshasya kale ishara murtina alpa nityo avyayam shuddham ekam kshetrajnam ashayaha avikriya sudrakhedur vyapako asangya anavrudaha. Those two verses he is talking in relationship with the soul. With the soul. Then Janmadhi Shadimi, the six changes that's happening in the body. And Bhananima Vrishasya Kale Ishwara Murtina. And while the soul is present inside, this is noticeable. And he says, Alma is Nityam, Avyayam, Shuddham, Ekam, Kshetrajnam, Ashrayam, Avikriyam, Sudrikha, Vyapakam, Hetu, Asangyam, Anamrutam. 12 symptoms of the soul and 6 symptoms of the body. He has spoken there. So that we are very clear about it, without giving any doubts, he is establishing the soul. He is establishing the presence of the soul inside. So, then he again mentions there, if you look back, if you go into verse 25, in the same, of course the whole thing is important. 4, 6 and 7, he is giving to Asura children, to his friends, isn't it? Indirectly he is giving it to us. He used the word Asuras. We are all the Asuras actually. Anyone who is not accepting and not operating on the platform of the soul is an Asura. Anybody, doesn't matter who it is. Who is thinking himself is the body And living in this world, identifying with the body, is an asura. And therefore, but he says, Shukha Brahmarshi was a little bit modest about it, not to upset us. So he said this through Prahlada's mouth to his friends, directly instead of putting it to us. But we have to take the message from that. Now many verses, as I mentioned, is for creating that detachment from this world, Vairagyam. Therefore, he stressed on this, that most of your time is spent in sleeping, and householder life is misery, and householder is busy with earning money and enjoying life, and all he wants is family should be taken care of well. All kinds of things he has spoken. It is important, not that they are not important. That is just also to be taken notice of. But tattva behind it is more important. Tattva jnanam is necessary. Without tattva jnanam, if you read Bhagavadam, it will simply become a storytelling business. Story is important, but tattva jnanam is more important. Tattvam, because Shukha Brahmarshi wants to get that through to us. That's what he wants to do. So that's why these verses, he mentioned that in the 6th chapter, and in the 7th chapter again, when he comes to verse 23, 24, 25, all that is all tattva jnanam. 23 says, Dehastu sarva sanghadam jagatta sthiriti dada. Then, atraiva mrigya purusho neri neri tadatyajan. The same thing what we are talking about. I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, I'm not this intelligence, I'm not this ego. One after the other, if you reject everything, what remains, that's what I am. Isn't it? That approach. Neri neri tadatyajan. Neri neri, not this, you remember. And ultimately, you have to touch that screen inside the soul, which is awareness. Then he says, Anyoya vidriyagena vivegena atmana sargasthanam sama amnayar vimashadbir asatvarai. Anyoya vidriyagam, Bhagavata process, which we have talked before. Through that process, one should analyze all the time. Anyoya vidriyagabhyam, it is in the Bhagavatam from the beginning itself, isn't it? Janma adhyasya yato anyoya itaradas. There itself it says, Anvayam and Vidriyagam process is the way of separating the soul and the body. Separating the soul and the body. So, in that way, one should sargasthana sama amnayar vimashadvi asatvarai. Then, it is possible to realize the truth in that way. Then he talked about jagrat svapnam sushupti. Buddher jagaranam svapnam sushupti iti vrtaya ta yenayu anibhuyande so adhyaksha purushapara. So, defining the soul in vacant state, dream state, deep sleep, all of them are due to intelligence. When they say intelligence, you remember, you have to relate with Krishna's words on that. Sattvam rajastama idi buddhe prakritir na almana. He mentions that in the 13th chapter, in the 11th canto, isn't it? Sattvam rajastama gunam idi buddher na chalmana. It's in the buddhi. And because of that, Jagrat Svapnam Sushupti, we have got. Because of the presence of Sattvam Rajasa Tamasa in our intelligence, we have got Jagrat Svapnam Sushupti. That's what he is saying here. But, ye tenei vani bhuyande so adhyaksha purusha para. In all these situations also, Atma is separate from all that. He is independent of all these three states. So, like this, like this, that, anyway, we'll have to discuss that later sometime. So here, what we have to remember here is, this is the Vedantam. Principle is this, that constantly going back to the awareness and finding out what the awareness is about. What is awareness, such an important thing? You may ask this question, why there is so much to talk about it? You have told us once, why you keep on saying the same thing about awareness? That's the question. The answer to that is, that you are not taking it seriously, and there are various aspects associated with that. When we say, why is it so important, you may ask, that means, if you ask that question, it means it is still in your brain, not in your awareness yet. Then, till it comes to your awareness, you have to keep on repeating. That is why, it is because of this only, that in the Vedic literature you may find, certain things is kept on repeated again and again. Why is it repeated? So that it goes into your awareness rather than into your head. When it goes like this, if it goes up, gone. If it goes down, it will make some effect. That's the way it is. Because our normal nature is to collect everything and keep it in the head, isn't it? So if this also, if you have kept it in the head, it is useless. Because if it doesn't go into awareness, this understanding, then what Krishna mentioned in the 8th chapter will not happen. What's that? That andhakaleja mameva smaran tektua kalevaram ya prayadisa madbhavam yati nasyatra samshaya. If this understanding from Bhagavadam, if it has not gone into your realization, instead it has gone into the brain or memory, then it is of no use. It is of no use. Everything is not for understanding with the mind. These things are meant for realizing inside. It has to go deeply inside, and we should become that. We have to come to realize it within ourselves, this point. That's what it is, why it's repeated so much. So, that awareness, it's called Upalabdhi. That word Upalabdhi is referring to that awareness. So, this is, you will notice this in many instances also, that while Acharya Swamiji was traveling in Karnataka, at that time in Karnataka, there was a small village, a village where Vedic culture was followed very rigidly. A Brahmana Agraharam, a number of Brahmana families living together, and they will not speak any other language except Sanskrit among themselves. They were so fixed on that. In that village, he happened to pass through that village. Shivali, that is the name of that village. So when he was going through that village, what happened was, in that village, there were all these Brahmanas who are present there. They were all Agnihotri. Agnihotri means who have fire burning in their home for many, many generations. They will not destroy the fire. And many of them were very knowledgeable in the Shastram, and many of them have performed sacrifices. And basically a very established Brahminical community there. They lived there, in that village, Shivali. So, there was one Brahmana there, his name was Prabhakar. Prabhakar was his name. And Prabhakar had only one son. And he was 13 years old. That boy was 13 years old. But his nature was, if you give him food, he will eat. If you put him to bed, he will sleep. Independently, he won't do anything. And also, he never got angry. Always in a very dull state. So, the parents, when the child was born, and child was not playing, bit like Prahlada in sometimes, and most of the time like Jadabharata, or mixture of Prahlada and Jadabharata together. If you mix Prahlada and Jadabharata, what will it be? That was his state. So they took him to a lot. The parents doesn't know anything. Parents normally thought a child expect to play, child is expect to cry, child is expect to, the childish nature was not there in him. So they took him to many doctors, I mean Ayurvedic physicians and all that, and tried many ways. It didn't work. So it is that time that Acharya Swamiji got there at that time, and this Brahmana, seeing Acharya Swamiji's status, Brahma Tejas, in other words, due to his purity and realizations, it was very visible to them, that he thought that he will take the child to him and ask him what I should do with him. So, and spoke to him about his son, took him in front of him and told him about him. So Acharya Swamiji took his hand with his own hand and asked him in a very nice way, looks like you talk to a child, kasvam shisho kasya kudosi gandha kim nama te tvam kudama gadosi edanma yoktam vadachar bhagatvam malpreedaye preedhi vivardhanosi. Ajay Swami's conversation with him is asking him, my dear son, child, he says that, who are you? And he says, whose son are you? Kasvam shisho kasya kutosi ganda. And where are you going? Kim nama tetum, what's your name? Kuta agadosi, where are you coming from? Simple, simple things like that. Edan mayoktum vadacha arbhagatvam. He says, please answer my questions. Mat prideye pridi vardhanosi. If you can answer, I'll be very happy if you answer my questions. He says to this little child, 13-year-old child. The child never spoke normally to anybody, always very quiet. But as soon as he got these questions, because when Ajari Swamiji saw him, he immediately understood what he is made of. It's a realized soul sitting in the front. They can see it through, isn't it? Remember yesterday we mentioned that we can understand a person's inside only when he speaks to us. Anybody, isn't it? That's our position. Jnanis, demigods and all, they can look at you and tell you what you are thinking. Because before the words comes out from the mouth, it goes through a lot of process inside, isn't it? That is what that para, paschendi, madhyama, vaikari. They can see things in the para stage, where it's originating within. So Ajari Swamiji saw this boy, immediately understood that this is not an ordinary child. It's already in the realized state he is. But so that the parents can understand, he understood what it is, so that the parents can understand that what his position is, he wanted him to speak. So therefore he asked these questions to the child. And the child is answering here. So as soon as he saw, he realized that he is situated on the platform of the soul, this child. And therefore, all questions are in relationship with the soul. All the questions. All these questions what he has asked. Who are you? Whose son are you? Where are you going? What's your name? And where are you coming from? Can you answer all these questions so I can be happy? This is all he has asked. So, at the first glance, you may think that they are all questions are in relationship with the body. Normally, if you ask these questions, it's relationship with the body, isn't it? But if you look at it in a subtle level, you can see these questions can be answered properly if you have crossed beyond the ignorance, avidya. Only if the avidya has gone from inside, you can answer these questions from a spiritual level. So, same thing what he mentioned in the Vajagovindam, kastvam, koham, kuta ayada, kame janani, kame tata. Same questions in the Vajagovindam also, the same questions are coming there. So, as soon as the questions came from Acharya, he says, this child, he started replying, Naham manushyo, na cha deva yakshau, na brahmana kshatriya vaishya shudra, na brahmachari, na grihi vanastho, bichurna chaham nijabhodharupam. That was the answer. You will see the same words coming in Chaitanya Charitamatam. In the same way, in conversation between Sanatana Goswami and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The same way it is spoken. Naham manushyo na cha deva yakshau, na brahmana kshatriya vaishya shudraha, na brahmachari na grihi vanastho, bichur na chaham nicha bodha rupam. He's saying, I'm not man, I'm not a human body, I'm not a demigod, I'm not a yaksha, another species. I'm not a Brahmana, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Vaishya, I'm not a Shudra. I'm not a Brahmachari, I'm not a Grahastha, I'm not a Vanaprastha, I'm not even a Sannyasi. Then what am I? I'm pure consciousness. I'm pure consciousness. Naham manushyo na cha deva yaksho, na brahmana kshatriya vaishya shudraha, na brahmachari na grahi vanastho, bhikshurna chaham nija bodharupam. That is the important thing. Nija bodharupam. If I am telling you that I am any one of the other, then I am telling you a lie, he says. If you want to know the truth, I'll tell you, he says, I'm none of these, but nija bodharupam. I'm pure consciousness. So you can see that aham bodham, that awareness inside, that's what is referring to bodharupam, isn't it? Aham bodham. So dehabhimanam. Dehabhimanam means our identification with the body, that creates varnashramam. Because as soon as you identify with your body, then you are a Brahmana, you are a Kshatriya, you are a Vaishya, you are a Shudra. Or you are a Brahmachari, you are a Grahastha, you are a Vanaprastham, you are a Sannyasi. That's all on the bodily level. It's all on the bodily level. We must know that, because sometimes we think that this Brahmana is higher, or Sannyasi is higher. Nothing is higher. They are all on the bodily level at the end. So, in all bodies, aham aham, that awareness, that has nothing to do with the body. That has nothing to do with the body. And that aham bodham is beyond time and space. Beyond time and space also. That's another interesting thing. Mind, intelligence, ego, all other things are within time and space. Aham bodham is beyond time and space. Aham bodham is beyond time and space, which is a big thing, isn't it? Body is subject to time and space. Mind is subjected to time and space. Intelligence is subjected to time and space. Ego is subjected to time and space. Awareness is not subjected to time and space. To make the point very clear, how important it is that this avabodham, how important it is to give attention to it compared to everything else. We give maximum attention to what? The body first. We give our maximum attention in life. Where do we give our maximum attention? On our own body, isn't it? Spend all the time in keeping that in the order, and because that's the one which is frightening us more than anything else. Therefore, we give attention to it more than anything else. Like Krishna says that in the Bhagavatam. This thing called body, he says, it comes without asking you. It comes one day to you. It appears from nowhere one day. And it starts changing every day. And every time it is changing, you are conscious, you are feeling that changes are happening in me. And at the same time, the effects of changes you have to suffer in your subtle body, one way or the other. But more than that, this body constantly frightens you throughout life. That's what it does to us. And one day, without asking us, it goes. This is the body. So, whereas this awareness is, that is known as samvit, isn't it? That although it may appear as though they are all different, this awareness is different in everyone. It may appear like that, but in reality it is one. That awareness is the same one thing. So that awareness, it comes through the body, comes through the mind, comes through the intelligence, and due to ignorance inside, that ignorance which is present there, it takes it misunderstands the awareness as jadam. Actually, it is awareness that is coming through the body. But instead of seeing the awareness, we identify with the body. Bodham is misunderstood as jadam. Bodham is what we are. That's what he mentions here. Bhikshurna chaham nija bodharupam. Bodham is our rupam. Bodham is our rupam. Awareness is our form. Instead of noticing that, what do? We identify with the body and think that's what we are. This is called avidya. This is what we are fighting against whole life. This avidya inside. And when what else happens inside? And jadam, we think that body has got life. Body has no life. So we think jadam has got chaitanyam. And chaitanyam we misunderstand as jadam. And jadam we misunderstand as chaitanyam. And we think that jadam has got chaitanyam. That misunderstanding happens. Bodham is misunderstood as jadam. And jadam is misunderstood as chaitanyam. Chaitanyam is bodham. Bodham is misunderstood as jadam. And jadam is misunderstood as bodham. Isn't it? That's why we say bodily consciousness. We mentioned this before also. Body cannot have consciousness. Body, consciousness, they are two different things. Body will never get consciousness, and consciousness can never have a body. All very subtle things rishis have analyzed so nicely and given it to us. Look, start thinking in this way. Give your science and other things away. Start looking at things in a different way. And you will see that all this makes sense, is it not? That when you start studying, coming from a gross bodily level, with a gross mind and intelligence, you will never understand these things. That's why rishis have given to us, because they had the capacity to look through in a subtle level, due to their purity and intense austerities inside. So they have found out so many things and told us, but we don't give any attention to that. That's our problem. That we give attention to all other. If a scientist says from Harvard or Oxford, oh yeah, it should be, you scientist is telling us, this must be the right one. This is the biggest foolishness in us. That because he's from Oxford or Harvard or somewhere, places like that, if he said something, we say, yes, yes, it must be correct. Because scientists have told us. Rishis are not scientists. They are some old men sitting in the forest who doesn't know anything. They wanted to pass their time. They have written all these books, katha. They have written katha and they have gone. And people are still, this is what we are thinking all the time. Most of the people think like that. The whole society has gone into problems because of this. That we started, we made ourselves fools by understanding things in that way. If you had a little sense and open mind, and you have seen how the sages have told us about these things, and you could give more credit to their scientific mind or their intelligence, or whatever we call it, that purity inside and that subtlety in them, that makes all the more difference. So there he says here, this mutual misunderstanding, thinking that bodham is jadam and jadam is bodham, is called paraspara adhyasam, mutual adhyasam. Mutually, we are misunderstanding both. Both we are misunderstanding. That is why in Shastram, they call it as adhyasam, but because it's mutual, it's called paraspara adhyasam. Paraspara adhyasam. Because of this adhyasam only, we are identifying and seeing that I am a human being, and I am a demigod, I am a brahmana, I am a shudra, I am a woman, I am a man, all these things has come from that. We are not even man, woman. That's all completely coming from this adhyasam. Adhyasam is the cause behind it. Or we are saying ourselves a grahastha or a sannyasi. All these things are adhyasam. Nothing but adhyasam. So, what is the way to come out of it? There's only one way. Alma vijaram. Come back to the soul again. There is no other way. Who am I? That question has to come back. And when you start inquiring, who am I? That's purti. That spurti that is coming from inside, if you find out where it's coming from, then you will know that it comes to an end, dead end. And then instead of the presence of the false ego with which we are identifying with all the time, that will drop off, and in place of that, pure consciousness will come back again in its origin. That requires a long time practice. Long time practice has to happen. But even if one does not succeed in that, at least if we turn our attention in this direction, and as and when time allow, if you keep reflecting this point all the time through, it is possible, Krishna says, that at one time or the other, we will hit there, at that consciousness. We'll hit at the consciousness. It has to happen. That depends on various other reasons also, according to our prarabdham. And according to our Shraddha in there, above all, Krishna's grace. This is all spiritual life is about. But because we don't know many things about in the Shastram, we don't take the Rishi's word seriously, we have to do a lot of sadhana, we have to do so many other things before we get to know the truth. Sadhana is all to help us to pure inside, to stop the chitavritti. But the message is very simple. That inside us, that spurti, aham aham, that spurti, what is coming, where is it coming from? If you keep asking that question, you will know one day that the source where it's coming from, there you get a very clear separation of your ego and your source, the soul. So, this vastu, a jnani who has woken up to that state, even though he is staying within the body, still he will not take any identification with this body or the body what he sees as the body. Body is jadam, isn't it? Body is actually jadam, it is. And in this body, which is seen by him, he will not identify with it as he. He will always be alert about that. He will not identify with it. So, as far as jnani is concerned, his realization is, although it may appear that he has got a body for others, inside his own experience is that he is akhandam brahmam, aham brahmasmi state, aham brahmasmi state. People ask, you can understand this, Krishna is saying aham brahmasmi. Isn't it? Aham brahmasmi. Now, when Krishna is saying aham brahmasmi, we are thinking we are all some little Brahman. How is that possible? The word Brahman itself is big. So, you can't have a small big, can you? If you are Brahman, you are Brahman. If you are not Brahman, you are not Brahman. That's it. There itself is sorted, the answer. You can't be both, can you? You can't be big and small. Or can you say that I am a very small big one? It won't make any sense. So, therefore, aham brahmasmi means that it is akhandam, one and present everywhere. Experienced in different levels at different places. Vastu is one. Ekam adhudiyam brahmam. That is the definition of brahmam. See, when you come to, normally, in the Bhakti Margam particularly, more attention is given to the emotion side, isn't it? More than the tattva side. Emotions are more important because generally in the bhakti process, they find it very difficult, all these things, to direct the thoughts in that way. So what they do, they do not bother. They are just satisfied with that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, I'm not this body. Dehinosmin yada dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tadha dehandara prapta dhirasatrana mukhyati. That much is sufficient, they are saying. More than that, why bother? That's their approach. But more, the rishis did not leave it at that. Because if that was all what they had to say, then I don't know why we have to give so much respect to rishis. Only just to tell us this, I'm not this body. That many people can come to that conclusion. But what they have done is they have gone a much more deeper level to understand what am I then if I am not this body. And they have come to understand that inside all this consciousness and that awareness and the importance of the awareness compared to mind, body, intelligence and ego. And they also, Upanishads are all talking about these things, that only in the presence of that awareness alone, mind, body, intelligence, ego, senses can work. That is why throughout Bhagavatam you will see wherever he gets an opportunity, Sukadeva Goswami will stress on this. Remember when Dhruva Maharaj started his prayers to Krishna, what did he say first? He didn't say talk about Krishna's form or Krishna's beauty. All other things came later. Yonda pravishyamima vajamimam prasuptam Sanjeevaya Thagila Shakti Dharas Swadhamnam Anyamsha Hasta Charano Sharanayam. Fourth canto, if you look, you will see Anyamsha Hasta Charano Anyamscha, fourth canto, ninth chapter, sixth verse, 496. Yonda pravishyamamavacha mimam prasuptam sanjeevayatyakila shaktidara sodhamnam anyamscha hastacharana shravanam togadin prananamo bhagavate purushayatubhyam. After 6 months severe austerities and penances in the forest. You know Dhruva's penances, very famous, isn't it? 5-year-old boy went to the forest, and you see in the earlier chapter, that's the 8th chapter, Dhruva's penances are spoken about. Verse 71, if you read, you will see Dhruva bathed himself, and the whole night he fasted, and took the instructions from Narada Maharshi, and served Krishna in this way. And verse 72 he says, he ate every 3 days. Once in a 3 days he ate. And what did he eat? He ate that Triratrande Kapitam Badarashanam Ashanam. Kapitam and Badari. Kapitam is that, what is that called? The white apple is called wood apple. Yeah, that is that kapitam. Kapitta jambu balasara. Kapitam is that wood apple, what they call it. And badaram, badari. Badari fruit. Neither of them are very good to eat. And he was eating. As an austerity, he was eating. It's not like mango or cherries or anything. It is very, not very nice taste. And this is what he was eating. That too every 3 days. Every 3 days. And then every 6 days, then he changed. Every 6 days, he gave up this thing, which one, Kapitam and Badari, he stopped eating that. And then he started eating dry leaves. Every 6 days, he was eating. He stopped eating at 3 days, then he changed to every 6 days. And he started, the first 1 month, he was eating every 3 days. And every 3 days he was eating kapitam and badri fruits. Because that's all available in that place. That's not anybody's fault. These are the only two fruits that comes out from the tree there. You must have seen, if you go to Badrinath, you will see nothing grows there. Practically, you got either snow or the grass. That's your other choice. And there are a few trees here and there. In that, this badri or kapitam you can get. So Dhruva had that for 1 month. Then the next month, what he did was, he stopped, instead of 3 days, every 6 days, he started eating the dry leaves that has fallen from the tree. That is the second month. Third month, he changed the third month, instead of every 6 days, he made it every 9 days. And what did he do? Only he took water, not eating any solid food, only water. And in the fourth month, he changed from taking it from 9 days to 12 days. Every 12 days, he was taking air inside, vayu. You can survive on air. You can survive on air. Even recent times, not long ago, there was a Baba. He lived in a place called Ghazipur in Uttar Pradesh. He was called Pavhari Baba because what he used to eat was air. He'll go into a cave and close the cave and sit inside for months together. And then when he comes out, one day he comes out. And everybody knew that he never ate anything. So therefore he was called Pavhari Baba. That's what everybody called him. Nobody knew his name proper. It's a long story about him, Pavhari Baba, very interesting personality. Pavhari Baba was a Vaishnava in the Ramanuja tradition. That's how he grew up. Then he got attracted to Advaitam and then he started studying Advaita texts about Vedantam very seriously. And then he was a yogi as well, added to that. Added to that, he was a yogi as well. In the olden times, even if you are born in one sampradayam, whether you are in the Ramanuja sampradayam or any other Vaishnava sampradayam or Advaita sampradayam, you will always study other books also to know what others have to say. It was not forbidden. Nowadays it is like a battle, isn't it? You are not supposed to read somebody else's book. They are all nonsense and demons and all that. This I don't know how this has come about, but that's how it is now. And you don't read others' books. That shows our state of mind, where we are at. So you can't read others' books and you feel that if you read that you are branded as a enemy or some kind of demon or whatever, it demonize you altogether. So, but Pahari Baba's time, these things didn't exist. They always exchanged their understanding and realizations, and Pahari Baba was interested in that way to understand Vedantam, and he studied and he progressed in that very well. There's a lot of things, we'll talk later about that. So Pahari Baba, he survived on air. He didn't eat anything, just survived on the air. Yogis have that process. They get that strength from inside. So, coming back to Dhruva now, every 12 days he was taking air. And the fourth month also went like that. On the fifth month, he stopped that also, air. And controlling all his pranan inside, the flow of pranan inside, completely absorbed in the truth, on the awareness inside, Brahman. And standing on one leg, he performed his fifth month. And it is in the sixth month, because the control on the pranan has become so powerful, that he started seeing that the soul inside from me is not separate from Krishna. That's how that samadhi state was. Soul inside from him, that aham asmi, that awareness coming from the soul, he has practically touched the chit shakti and started realizing the separation from that chit shakti and Krishna. There is no difference. It's the same chit shakti which is Krishna outside. So when he has come to that state, that is when Krishna spoke to the demigods, because they started feeling the pressure of this Dhruva's realization inside. And Krishna appeared. At that time, Krishna appeared outside. And when Dhruva saw Krishna, he didn't know what to say. Suddenly Krishna appeared in the front and Dhruva didn't know what to say. So what did Krishna do? Krishna had his conch shell. And with the conch shell, he touched his cheek. Dhruva's cheek. When the conch shell touched Dhruva's cheek, from inside, that Shakti, Vaikari Shakti, it is called, it started coming out. That means the right word to glorify Krishna with the right way. To glorify Krishna also we have to know. Some people glorify Krishna, many people glorify Krishna in different ways, isn't it? If we start glorifying Krishna, what will happen? Shall I tell you what happened? In Vrindavanam, they have gave Krishna a nice pair of trousers and a mobile phone in the hand. We thought that we have to glorify Krishna. So they started doing in their way. So that is not allowed. There is one temple they have done there, and the photographs were shown, Krishna in a nice pair of trousers. They thought that, why not? We all have nice. We start thinking like that, isn't it? Whatever best we have, Krishna also should have it. So that thinking behind it. So that's what when we do things. But here, when Dhruva didn't know how to glorify Krishna. So if you want to talk about Krishna, also you have to know how to talk about Krishna. So Krishna gave that capacity, and the first words that came out from Dhruva was not about Krishna's beauty, not about Krishna's clothes or garlands or peacock feather or anything. Rather, yo anda pravishya mimavaja mimam prasuptam sanjeevayat agila shakti dharaswadhamnam anyam shahasta charanam shravanam tvakadin pranannamo bhagavade purushayatubhyam You see someone and you have to say these words first, which means what? What does that mean? It means that Dhruvaraj knew very well, by his presence alone inside, all the senses are working. The mind is working, intelligence is working, pranan is working, and hands are working, legs are working. Everything is working on whose presence is working. To him, I pay my obeisances. That is how Dhruva spoke. That was yonda pravishya mama vacham imam prasuptam. Only by his presence I am able to speak, he says. Sanjeevayat akhila shaktidhara sudhamnam. All they are different shaktis, isn't it? Different potencies that's coming out. Astidhara sudhamnam anyamscha hasta charana shravana tvagadin pranan namo bhagavade purushaya tubhyam. Then, if you keep on looking, all the first four or five verses is all about Krishna's glories. What is Krishna? That is how we have to understand Krishna. Not to always think that Krishna is always very, no doubt Krishna is beautiful. But more than that, the important aspect is all these things. Egastvam eva bhagavan idam alpa shaktiyaha maya khayori gunaya mahadas ashesham srishtvanu vishya purushas tadasadguneshu naneva darushu vibhavasuva vibhasi tattvadataya vaina edama jashta vishvam supta prabuddhamiva nadhabaval prabannaha tasya bavarga sharanam tavapadamulam vismaryade kritavidam katha artabandho nunam mimrishtamadayastava mayayate yetvam bhavape vimokshanam anyahetoho archandi kalpakadaram kunabhobhyam ichandi yals prashajam niraye vinrinam yanarusmradisnanimradhantava padabalpam dhyanabhavajjanakatha shravanena vasyal sa brahmani sumahimanya vinathama bhul kim tundakasululidal patatam vimanad. So many verses after that, all from Dhruva Maharaj glorifying Krishna. So you can see here that yonda pravisha mama vacham imam prasuktam. In this case of this child also, that the child, normally we have to give a definition about, when we talk about ourselves, we have to give a definition, isn't it? That's the need of this world. You have to say in some way, I am a man, I am a woman, that you have to say in some definition. Because in order to live in the society, you need some identity. You have to say, I am an Indian, I am an American, I am a European, or whichever way. So these are all identities, isn't it? Or you may say like this, that I'm a doctor, I'm an engineer, I'm this, I'm that, so many things. These are all identities that is associated with that. Or I'm a politician, I'm a businessman, something like that. Or if you don't identify in that way, you identify with the community, or in the family identity, like I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a son, something like that. So without identity, it is not possible to remain in a society. Society requires the identity, isn't it? So, when you have a second identity, then you will ask, what is the first identity? For example, Naham Manushya, that verse if you look, Naham Manushya, he mentions there, Naham Manushya, Nacha Deva Yakshav, Na Brahmana Kshatriya Vaishya Shudraha, Na Brahmachari Na Grahi Vanasto, Bishur Na Chaham, Nija Bodha Rupam, he says, isn't it? And it is the same thing. This is the answer that was given by this young Brahmana boy. He gave this answer. So, when he answered that question, when Acharya asked that question and when he answered that, then that Brahmam Anubhavam, so long as we have Jivatvam in us. Jivatvam means that identification is Jiva. That means due to trace of false ego. That is Jivatvam. As long as we have a trace of false ego inside, Brahma anubhavam of Brahman will not be complete. That's why that although we may say aham brahmasmi and all that, simultaneously we also have we are jivas. That because of the false ego inside, isn't it? So he is saying here, this boy is saying to Acharya that I am not even a jiva. That means the false ego has completely gone away, even very slightest trace of false ego inside. So hearing that from that boy, Acharya Swamiji understood his extraordinary realization beyond the body, totally disconnected from the body, mind, intelligence and ego. And therefore he gave him the name as Hastamalaga. Hastamalaga means, amalagam is that, it's a fruit, small fruit. I don't know what the English word. It's bitter. It's used made in pickles also. You will see in BBs and all pickle there. That amalaga fruit, it's an expression in the Sanskritam that if you have that in the hand, how close you have it with you, I mean you have particularly got it. Similarly, the soul, identification with the soul is so close to him that he is totally realized, in other words. That's what it means. Therefore, he was given the name as Hastamalaga. Then Hastamalaga was later on became one of the four major disciples, and he was installed as the head of a mutt. I think he was the one head in Jagannath Puri, Govardhan Mutt. Govardhan Mutt, he became the head of that. So the same words, if you look into when Acharya was small, 8-year-old, when he met his spiritual master, Govinda Bhagavadpada. Govinda Bhagavadpada asked him the same question, who are you? And what was his answer? Na bhumair na toyam na tejo na vayu nam kham na indriyam va na tesham samuha anegandigatval sushuptyega siddham tadego avashishtam shiva kevaloham. That is how he answered that. What was the difference here? Difference was, Ajahn Swamiji is saying to him, I am not any of the five material elements, not earth, water, air, ether or fire. Nor I am any of the senses, mind, body, intelligence, ego, any of them. Then who am I? When all of them are not there in me, in the deep sleep state, sushupte gandhi gatwal, what is remains, that's me. That's how he answered that. Two different ways of answering the same thing. Acharya Swamiji answered in this way. Na bhumir na toyam na tejo na vayu nakham nendriyam va na tesham samuha anegandigatval sushupti ega siddhaha tad ego vashishtam shiva kevaloham. When you have all these things are taken out, when you leave all of them in the sushupti state, what remains, that's me, he said. Hastamalaga, this boy, he said in a different way. He said, I'm not brahmachari. He all bodily identifications he has taken out and spoken that way. So these kind of mantram, these are all mantras for mananam. This is what Jnanamargam is all about. Continuously going through these verses and always establishing ourselves what we are. This is what the process is. Rishi is telling us to do that. So here, instead of I have no symptoms, he said. I'm not demigod, yaksha, gandharva, nothing. Brahmachari, grastha, vanaprastham, sannyasam. We will also say the same thing in the society sometimes. So this is more interesting. In the society, what do we say? When people have arguments or sometimes they find that they are caught up in a problem, they will say, I don't want to identify with anything. I am not anybody. But you should think that I am a human being, you will say. I am just a human being, he says. Am I not a human being? So that means you are expecting that everybody should accept you as a human being, isn't it? So sometimes you will say, I'm just a human being, you'll say. Is it not? In some instances, people say like that. Suppose something has gone wrong. then how do we say? Yes, after all, I'm a human being, we'll say. Don't we? Suppose we have done something seriously wrong, and then you feel you shouldn't have done that. And somebody asks you, why did you do that? Oh, well, I couldn't do anything more. After all, I'm a human being, isn't it? It means that I'm subject to error. Subject to error. We'll say like that, isn't it? Or sometimes some big people, whom we consider big, if they make some blunders and do something wrong, then we will also accommodate them, and we don't want to offend them. We'll say, after all, he's a human being. He is also a human being, we'll say. Is it not? It's quite common in our nature. And you can say with the mouth that you are a human being. Because the moment you say you are a human being, all other identities also comes along with that. Then you are a brahmachari, grahastham, vanaprastham, sannyasam, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, man, woman, whatever it is. You are a human being. So you can see, if you have a second identity, there will be, if you have any identity, you will be many identities associated with that will come. In other words, if you say you are a human being, it does not exclude you from, you are subject to so many other identities still. As a human being, you can be called as a man or a woman. You can be a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya or a shudra, brahmachari, grahastham, vanaprastham, sannyasam. Or you can be called as a businessman, politician, banker, because that's the one most hated now. So you can be called that, or whatever that you want to call, you can call, he's a human being, isn't it? So what it means is that you may say, I don't believe in any religion. I don't have any caste. I don't believe in any caste. I'm a human being. People say like that sometimes. That this is how the caste system, they started trying to destroy that. They're saying, there are so many people who later on propagated this understanding. We are all human being. Therefore, we don't need any caste. They were saying like that. Caste system was broken down in this way. So people started thinking, well, this is a very higher concept. I'm a human being without a caste. But the problem is that the moment you are a human being, you have a caste. That is difficult to take it away from us. So, and these are the people who, and they think they are a very lofty ideal they have. Very, very high ideal if you say that you are a human being. Many people did this. That they started seeing that without caste. Even Mahatma Gandhi was criticized for this. Then when he started bringing this approach, that you can see the problem, that in spite of all, of course, Mahatma Gandhi's case, there was reasons for doing so, but still, Varnashrama Dharmam, if you destroy, what you will get at the end is a very low class system. There is no doubt about that. You are trying to pull the top one down, and you are not able to push the bottom one up. So everybody become the lower level. It will not work, that system. It's not possible. It is very scientific. Krishna has created this. Krishna says to us that all of you are not made of the same stuff in the inside. Subtle body is so different, isn't it? So he said, let a few people who are spiritually inclined and who have a little deeper purity inside and who have that nature of surrender and also knowledge, renunciation and freedom from various other asuric tendencies, they be addressed as Brahmana. Therefore he gave a definition to us as Brahmana's definition, Kshatriya's definition, Vaishya definition, Shudra definition. It is there in the Bhagavad Gita, it is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, when Krishna is giving this to us, how on earth can we say, oh no, we are all human beings? What meaning has it got? And where does it stand? If we are all human beings, this is what we are having today in this world, the result of everybody being a human being. So what can you do? This is where things go wrong. Everything in particularly in India, where Varnashrama Dharma has existed for so long a time, they pull down the whole thing. They pulled the whole wall down from one to another. What was the result? If you pull the wall down and you go on to the other side, you have to take it that the other side will come to this side also, opposite way. Therefore, they have done such a damage to the society, and then the whole political system, administration, business, in every field, people without any principles, totally ruthless, interested in completely selfish ideas, they got in. And the result now you can see what goes on there. It is a hopeless situation. You could even see right after Mahatma Gandhi's time, those leaders who were with him, even they had some values. Immediately after the, because they were grown up in that tradition. So they respected that. Current generation, if you look and if you see how things are being done, it is absolutely shocking. Absolutely shocking it is. And those who know about it, all they can do is to stay home and keep quiet about it. Just escape from here. That's all you can do. It is that bad situation. The modern politics, the modern industry and business, without any values and claiming that they are the descendants of the Vedic tradition. And when you see what goes on, this, it is actually directly insulting Krishna. Krishna is telling us that you need this division in the society. It was not done with any intention to bring down others or to bring people down. It was done with very good motive. And if you keep that division, that society, it's a possibility that it will go in the right direction. Otherwise, completely it will go in the sense enjoyment in that way. Krishna's point is, let there be a group of people who are intelligent, who can understand Shastram, what the rishis have taught us, and who will follow that all the way through in their life, full of austerities and penances, purity, truthfulness, dhamam, shamam, tapas, shaujam, kshandi, arjavam, jnanam, vijnanam, astikyam, all qualities Krishna has spoken there for Brahmana. And he said that let these qualities be there in those, and let them be in the top position, Brahmanas. And then he mentioned that tejam, kshama, dhridi, so many things come in relationship with the yuddheja, apalayanam, kshatriya qualities is mentioned. Then krishi, goraksha, vanijyam, vaishyakarma, sabhavajam, and remaining others, shudrakarma, sabhavajam, he mentioned that. If that, when the society is structured like that, there is no possibility of that society going in the wrong way. It will stay in the right direction. But it didn't. We made that we don't need all these qualities. What we need, everybody should be a good businessman. How to make money, number one. And number two, in order that for them to make money, you need a lot of other people to work for them, Shudra. So Vaishya Shudra community came out from this at the end. By, and there is no Brahmana, there is no Kshatriya. Brahmam and Kshatram, they are the two, Brahmam and Kshatram, are the two important of the four. It is they who have to guide the society, one to protect and one to guide. Both are missing. Heads are missing, arms are missing, belly is there, legs are there. That's what the modern world is, isn't it? So that is why you can see here that these people who are talking about all these things, and they said, no, no, we are all human beings. And Brahmins and Kshatriyas, in the olden days, if you see their name and surname, you will know where they belong to. But then they started taking out all the surnames, because if you put the surname, people will think in the wrong way. So that's they're taking it out from there. And these are the people, then after they broke down this Varnashram Dharma, what did they do next thing? Then they started breaking up the society in the form of political party. I belong to this party and he belongs to some other party. So I'll put the knife on his neck. This is the next thing, what happens from them. So instead of Varnashram Dharma has gone, instead party politics has come in. That's what has happened in the society. Whole of India I'm talking about particularly, but because their Varnashram Dharma was there to some extent for quite some time, that is gone and political party fighting has started. That's all the difference. There's no other difference. Nothing has happened. Quarreling has not gone. Fighting has not gone. Instead of fighting, they were previously, they had this problem with the four divisions in the society. And they were saying that it is bad for us. We are all human beings. But fighting has not stopped still. Fighting is still going on. Instead of the Varnashrama Dharmam, we are now fighting in the name of party politics. That's the only difference. Nothing else has changed. Fighting is still going on. So here, that's why it mentions here that as long as we have identification with the body or pride, dehabhimanam, sharirabhimanam, as long as it's there, we will be forced to enforce some symptom of this. One of these in us. That means Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grastham, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam, man, woman, king, pauper, or politician, prime minister, this at some identity has to come as long as you have a bodily identity. It has to be there. It has to be there. So, one person who has gone beyond all designations, he is called Tattvajnani. He is called Tattvajnani. He is realized. Yes, realized. So that is why Naham that Nija Bhodha Rubam. Then the question is asked, who are you? He says, Nija Bhodha Rubam, pure consciousness, Bodham, awareness. And also it mentions there that in that Hastamalaka, when he replied Acharya, he spoke many things at that time. And there it mentions at that time that the samasta vastushu alma, he says, yama agni ushnaman nitya bhoda sarubam. Manasa Chakshu Adhinya Bhodalma Gani Pravartanda Mashritya Nishkamba Megam Sanityobalabdi Surupoham Alma. So there were many verses spoken after that verse also. And in that he mentioned that he is not that identifying with the soul he is talking about. Identifying with the soul he is talking about. That for mananam, for in other words, to identify oneself strongly with the soul, manasa, chakshusa, and is different from them. Manas chakshuradir, manas chakshuradi. At the same time, we've said this also before in the Upanishads. We see something with the light. But with the light alone, we can't see. You need the eye. But if the light and the eye is there, still we can't see. You need the mind. Behind the eye and the light, there is the mind. Without the mind, you can't see it, isn't it? So, there is a light, there is the eye. But still, even if the eye makes the contact with the light, your vision is not complete till you have the mind. Only with the help of the mind you are seeing something, isn't it? It comes through the door of the eye, so the window of the eye, or the eye. But if the mind is there, is that sufficient? No. In order that the mind to function, your manachachureg agamya swarupam. All this thing called mind, intelligence, everything to function, behind that, this awareness is necessary. Swarupam. Awareness or bodham. Sa nityobaladhi swarupoham alma. If you read that, Hastamalaka Gita, you will see throughout that is this word ubalabdhi. What is used in this 15th verse of Shruti Gita. Brihad ubalabdhi. Ubalabdhi is more important. That's where this awareness is coming from. There is only about how many verses in there? About 14 verses in the Astamalaka Gita, as it's called. Astamalaka Gita is 14 verses, and all the verses ends up with this: Sat Nityobalabdhi Swarupoham Alma. Alma is my Swarupam, Aham Alma, which I have always got it. Nityobalabdhi Swarupoham Alma. If you read Astamalaka Gita, you will see there. Nimittam manaschakshuradi pravrtau nirastakhilo vadi akashakalpam vavir loka cheshta nimittam yathaya sa nityobalabdhi swarupoham alma. Yamagnishnavam nitya bhoda swarupam manaschakshuradhinya bhoda almagani pravartandam ashritya nishkambam ekam sa nityobalabdhi swarupoham alma. Mukhabhasako darpane drishyamano Mukhatwar Pradakthena Nayvasti Vastu Chidabhasako Deshu Jivo Bidaval Sanityobalabdhi Swarupoham Alma. Yadadar Pranabhava Abhasahanau Mukham Vidyade Kalpana Hinamekam Tadhadhivi Yoge Nirabhasako Ya Sanityobalabdhi Swarupoham Alma. Manachakshuradir Vyukta Swayam Yo Manachakshuradir Manaschakshuradi Manachakshuradir Agamya Swarupam Sa Nityobalabdham Swarupoham Alma. Then Ya Ego Vibhadi Swada Shuddha Chedaha Prakasha Swarupam Naneva Dhinshu Sharavo Udagasto Yadha Bhanu Ekaha Sa Nityobalabdhi Swarupoham Alma. Yathanega Jakshu Prakasho Ravirna Kramena Prakashi Karodi Prakashyam Anegadhyot Yastathega Prabhodham Sa Nityobalabdhi Swarupoham Alma. Vivasal Prabhadam Yadarupam Eksham Prakrihnadinabhadam Evam Vivaswan Yadhabhadam Abhasayatyakshavegam Sa Nityobalabdhi Swarupoham Alma. Yathasurya Egopsanegas Chalasu Sirasu Pyananak Vibhavya Swarupam Chalasu Prabhinasu Dishvevam Egam Sa Nityobalabdhi Swarupoham Alma. Ghanachanna Drishtir Ghanachanna Markam Yatha Nishprabham Manyade Chadi Moodhaha Tada Baddhavad Bhadiyo Mooda Drishte Sa Nityobalabdham Swarupoham Alma. So Samasteshu Vastu Anu Samasteshu Vastu Anu Syudam Egam Samastani Vastu Ini Yam Nas Prashandi Viyadvad Sadashuddhamacha Swarupam Sa Nityobalabdhi Swarupoham Alma. Like this it goes on, and you can see here that all these verses have got this word Ubalabdhi, which is used in the 15th verse, Brihad Ubalabdhi. See that the from that one word, Hastamalaka has brought this 18 verses or so. In the Hastamalaka Gidam, you can, what we will do at some time later, we will take Hastamalaka Gita on its own and study it, these 15 verses, like we do with the Bhajagovindam. Then you will know that Hastamalaka, what state he was in at that time when he spoke that. So, here, Ubalabdhi, Samasteshu Vastushu, he says here, in all Vastu, in everything, Anisyudam, in every Vastu he is there, who? The soul is there. But what's the difference? He doesn't go through the changes. What happens in the Vastu? It doesn't happen to him. At the same time, he is not touching any Vastu. Like he is within all of us, isn't it? But he is not changing. He is not changing, we are changing. What else? He is not touching us, but he is there as a witness to everything in his presence. That is how he is within us. He is present within all of us, but he is not touching us. He is not touching us. No sparsham, no touch. At the same time, he is a witness of everything what's happening, and only due to his presence everything is happening. This is our relationship with the soul. So, and he is inside out like the sky everywhere, and no connection with anything. And not only that, he is always there. Nityobalabdham. Nityobalabdham Swarupoham Alma. Alma Swarupam is is always present, is always available for you in the form of awareness. The form of awareness. Awareness. So we'll have a short break. So we have seen in that verse the nature of that awareness. The nature of the awareness. What is the nature? Nature is interesting. Samasteshu vastu, it says that. The nature of that awareness. Samasteshu vastushu anisyutamekam. Samastani vastuni yam nasprashandi. Viyadvad sada shuddham achas swarupam. Sanityobaladhi swarupoham alma. That is, Hastamalaka mentions about that. The nature of the soul. What does it mean? That awareness is present in everything, but he is one. He is one, but it is present in everyone. And when he is present there, he doesn't touch anything. Just like he is present in us, but he is not touched by the body or the mind or the intelligence or senses or anything. None of them touches them. And at the same time, he is Nija Bhodha Rogam, is pure Nitya Shuddham, Nitya Baladhi Swarupoham Alma, Sada Shuddham, Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. Always pure, always conscious, and Nitya Shuddha Buddham, always conscious, always liberated, always liberated. Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam, isn't it? Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. Nityam eternal and always pure and always conscious and always liberated. That is soul. That is the soul. And that's, it says here, then that is Nityam, Nityobalabdham. Or what Bhagavatam says, Brihad Ubalabdham. Ubalabdham is the word for that. So, Nityobalabdhi Swarupaham Atma. And like the sky, he is inside and outside everywhere, but at the same time, he is not in contact with anything. He is present all over, but he is not in contact with anything. That is the subtlety of the soul. Subtlety of the soul. And at the same time, the only indication we have is this aham aham inside, aham asmi, that awareness that has come as the indication of the presence of him everywhere. That ahamasmi, that awareness inside the body, we get that. So, you can understand this, that the only way to connect with Krishna is this, through this awareness. There is no other way. Although we may say so many other things, the tangible thing what we have is this awareness, isn't it? And that's what the definition here, that that for, because it's already available with us, Ubalabdham it is, isn't it? One who has seen the truth, realized the truth, for him, self-realization is not something that he has to acquire it from somewhere, because he knows very well. It's already there in him, the soul is present there. Only thing is, he has to become aware of it, of that presence of the soul. He has to come to realize it inside. Just like they say that you keep the glass on the nose and then you are inquiring for the glass everywhere in the same way. In the same way. Because you are inquiring also, looking for your glass through the glass only. But this happens in the old age sometimes. When you get very old, you can't remember anything. Many things happens, isn't it? Then only people start writing down everything, not to forget. Then they forget where they have written it down. So like this, it goes on. When you get older, all these things happen. Can't remember anything. Then argument starts. Oh, I told you like this. This is, no, you have not told me anything like that. At home, all this problem happens, isn't it? With the old people, that they start saying that, I've told you that day. She says, no, you have not told me anything. You think that you have told, but you are not told. Or person was that. Now, better than the next best thing you can do is not to argue. That's the next best thing you can do, because you can't trust yourself. That's the situation then. By now you know that you are on your way out. Initially you think that everything is in your control. Everything always under control, isn't it? But then when these things happen in life, you start realizing nothing is under your control. You are on your way out. So better to accept that and keep quiet. Otherwise only you'll be arguing and fighting about it, but nothing will happen. So that's what it is. At that stage, that's when through glasses you are looking for your glasses. A stage comes in life like that. And it is when, similarly, it is through the presence of the soul only, through that awareness, we are looking for that awareness. By presence of the soul, that awareness is coming. And it is through that awareness you are trying to look for the soul. You see? It's similar to that situation. So, when one day somebody points out, that's what the spiritual master does. He points out to you, the thing what you are looking for is that awareness. That's right there on your nose. When the glass is pointed out, then you start realizing that that vastu I am looking for, that specks, is on my nose. And you become satisfied with that. And similarly, when that awareness is, avabhodam, is noticed, then immediately you stop the search after that. Isn't it? Vidyaranya Swamiji, who wrote Panchadashi, he spoke very nicely about this. He says, he heard a lecture somebody was talking about. He says, there is no thing called soul, he was saying. He was giving a lecture for 1 hour to prove that there is no such thing called soul. He was saying that. So, Vidyaranya Swamiji heard that lecture and he says, what's the topic? He said, the man was saying that the soul doesn't exist. He has his own arguments for that, you know, people how they are. So he said, told him that you are giving a lecture and telling me that you don't have a tongue. He said, only if you have a tongue you can speak, isn't it? And similarly, but you are telling me, give me a lecture saying that you don't have a tongue. And you are giving me a lecture. From there I have to understand that whatever you are talking is all nonsense, because you can't talk without tongue. Without tongue. Similarly, is this thing saying, he says, to say that there is no Atma, there is no soul. Because that's the only thing what you have got. Other things you don't have. All other things, the five senses, the mind, intelligence, ego, everything is functioning because of his presence. This Atma, soul inside. And you are trying to prove that it doesn't exist. That's what Vidyaranya Swamiji said about that. So this Atma, presence of Atma, which is called Astitvam. Astitvam means that the state you are, awareness. That Avabhodham, that how can you deny that? How can you reject it? Even if you don't accept anything else in the Shastram, this one thing of your own existence you can never reject under any circumstances. Everything else you can reject. But how can you reject the person who is rejecting everything? You can reject everything, but you can't reject the person who is rejecting everything, can you? He has to accept that. So that is what that Brihad Upalabdham means. It is very Brihad, that Upalabdham word. It's very big. Through that word, so many things about the soul we have to understand. Brihad Upalabdham ಬೃಹದುಪಲಬ್ಧಮೇದ ಅವಯಂದ್ಯವಶೇಷತಯಾ ಯಥ ಉದಯಾಸ್ತಮಯೋ ವಿಗೃದೇರ್ ಮುದಿವಾ ವಿಗೃದಾತ್ ಅದಹೃಷಯೋ ಧದು ತ್ವಯಿ ಮನೋವಚನಾಚರಿತಂ ಕಥಮ ಯಥಾ ಭವಂತಿ ಭುವಿ ದತ್ತ ಪದಾನಿ ನೃಣಾಂ. ಇಸ್ ಐಸ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ದಟ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಅವೇರ್ನೆಸ್, ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್ ಪ್ರಾಪರ್ಲಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇನ್ ಪ್ಯೂರ್ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ದಟ್ ಅವೇರ್ನೆಸ್. ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಎವ್ರಿಬಡಿ ಡೂ ದ್ಯಾಟ್? ಇಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಪಾಸಿಬಲ್? ದೆನ್ ದಿ ಆನ್ಸರ್ ಟು ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಇಸ್, ಹೂ ಎವರ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಡೂ ಇಟ್, ಲೆಟ್ ದಮ್ ಡೂ ಇಟ್. ದಟ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಯು ಸೇ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಇಟ್. ಆಲ್ ದಿ ವಿಕಲ್ಪಂ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಟು ಗೋ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದ ಮೈಂಡ್. ಯು ನೋ ವಾಟ್ ವಿಕಲ್ಪ ಮೀನ್ಸ್? ಚಿತ್ತವೃತ್ತಿ ಇನ್ಸೈಡ್, ಇಸ್ ಇನ್ ಆವರಣಂ ವಿಕ್ಷೇಪಂ, ದೇ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ ವಿಕಲ್ಪಂ ಇನ್ಸೈಡ್. ದ ಥಾಟ್ ವೇಸ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ಸ್ ಕಮಿಂಗ್, ವೆನ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ಲಿ ಸ್ಟಾಪ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ಸೈಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ದೆಮ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಪಾಸಿಬಲ್. ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಈಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್, ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಈಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್. ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಆಸ್ಕ್ ದಿಸ್ ಒನ್ ಕ್ವೆಶ್ಚನ್, ಯು ಪೀಪಲ್ ಮೇ ಆಸ್ಕ್ ದಿಸ್ ಕ್ವೆಶ್ಚನ್. ವೆನ್ ಯು ಸೇ ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದ ಆಲ್ಮ, ಪೀಪಲ್ ಥಿಂಕ್ ಓ ಈಸ್ ಟಾಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಸಮ್ವೇರ್, ವಿ ಡೋಂಟ್ ನೋ ವಾಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಅಬೌಟ್. ವೆರ್ ಆಸ್ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಟೆಲ್ ದಮ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕಥಾ, ನೈಸ್ ಕಥಾ, ಸೊ ಯು ಟಾಕ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್, ಯು ಥಿಂಕ್ ದಟ್ ಆಲ್ ದೋಸ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಆರ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಸೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಹೂ ಆರ್ ಹಿಯರಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಯು ಟಾಕ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಅಲಾಟ್, ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಹೀ ಕಿಲ್ಡ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಡೀಮನ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಹೀ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಡನ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಪಾಸ್ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್. ಡಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಮೀನ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಸೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಹಿಯರಿಂಗ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಸ್ಟೋರಿ? ನೋ, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಸ್ಟೋ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಡ್ಯೂ ಟು ಯುವರ್ ವಾಸನ ಇನ್ಸೈಡ್ ಯು ಲೈಕ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಟು ಹಿಯರ್ ಇನ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಸ್ಟೋರಿ. ದ್ಯಾಟ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್, ನಥಿಂಗ್ ಮೋರ್ ದನ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್. ಸೊ ಸಿಮಿಲರ್ಲಿ ವಿ ವಿಲ್ ಸೇ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಚಾಂಟಿಂಗ್ ದ ಹೋಲಿ ನೇಮ್, ವಿ ವಿಲ್ ಸೇ, ವಿ ಮೇಕ್ ಇಟ್ ಸೋ ಸಿಂಪಲ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಟೆಲ್ ದ ಹೋಲ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಸಚ್ ಎ ಸಿಂಪಲ್ ಪ್ರೋಸೆಸ್. ಚಾಂಟ್, ಫೀಸ್ಟ್, ಡ್ಯಾನ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಗೋ ಹೋಮ್, ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ ಹೋಮ್, ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ ಟು ಗಾಡ್. ಇಟ್ ಡಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್? ವಿಲ್ ಇಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್? ಐ ಡೌಟ್, ಐ ಡೋಂಟ್ ಥಿಂಕ್ ಇಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಗಾನ್ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್. ಡೂ ಯು ಥಿಂಕ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಬಿಕ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ ಚಾಂಟಿಂಗ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ವಿ ವಿಲ್ ಆಲ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು ಒನ್ ಡೇ? ಇಸ್ ದರ್ ಎನಿ ಗ್ಯಾರಂಟಿ ಲೈಕ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್? ನೋ, ಇಟ್ಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ದೇರ್. ದಿಸ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ನೋ ಅವರ್ ಸೆಲ್ಸ್. ದಿಸ್ ನೋ ಬಡಿ ಇಸ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಟೆಲ್ ಅಸ್. ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಅವರ್ ಇಂಟೆಲಿಜೆನ್ಸ್ ಈಸ್ ರಿಕ್ವೈರ್ಡ್, ಅವರ್ ಕಾಮನ್ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ನೆಸೆಸರಿ ಟು ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಪ್ರಾಪರ್ ವೇ. ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಸಂಬಡಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಸೆಡ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್, ಯು ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ನೋ ಟು ವೇ ಅಪ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಪ್ರಾಪರ್ಲಿ. ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ನಾಟ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ವಿ ಗೆಟ್ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ಲಿ ಕ್ಯಾರಿಡ್ ಅವೇ ಬೈ ದಿ ಪ್ರಾಪಗಾಂಡಾ. ಸಂಬಡಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಸೆಡ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಿಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಆಲ್ಸೋ ನೋ ಹೌ ಟು ಅನಲೈಸ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್. ಅದರ್ವೈಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಡಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಮೀನ್? ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ದಿ ಹ್ಯೂಮನ್ ಇಂಟೆಲಿಜೆನ್ಸ್ ದೇ ಆರ್ ದೆನ್. ಸೊ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಸಂಬಡಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಸೆಡ್ ದಟ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್, ಓ ಯು ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಚಾಂಟ್, ಡ್ಯಾನ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಫೀಸ್ಟ್, ದಟ್ಸ್ ಇನಫ್, ನಥಿಂಗ್ ಎಲ್ಸ್ ಈಸ್ ರಿಕ್ವೈರ್ಡ್, ಗೋ ಹೋಮ್. ಯು ಥಿಂಕ್ ಮೀನ್ ಟು ಸೇ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಚಾಂಟ್, ಡ್ಯಾನ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಫೀಸ್ಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ಆಲ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಚೈನಿ ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು? ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಎನಿಬಡಿ ಬಿಕಮ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್? ವಿ ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಬಿಕಮ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಚೈನಿ ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು. ಚೈನಿ ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು ಚೈನಿ ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು, ಯು ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ಲೈಕ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್, ಬಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ವಾಟ್ ವಿ ಆರ್. ಸೊ ದ ಪಾಯಿಂಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ವೆನ್ ವಿ ಟಾಕ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದ ಸೋಲ್, ಪೀಪಲ್ ಥಿಂಕ್ ಓ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಟು ಕಾಂಪ್ಲೆಕ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಕಾಂಪ್ಲಿಕೇಟೆಡ್, ಇಟ್ಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಫಾರ್ ಮೀ. ಐ ಫಾರ್ ಮೀ ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ದ ಬೆಸ್ಟ್ ಪ್ರೋಸೆಸ್, ಸಿಂಪಲ್ ಪ್ರೋಸೆಸ್, ಚಾಂಟ್, ಡ್ಯಾನ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಬಿ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿ. ಇಟ್ಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್. ದ್ಯಾಟ್ಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಹೌ ಯು ಕಂಪೇರ್ ದೀಸ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ವೇದಿಕ್ ಪ್ರೋಸೆಸಸ್. ದ ಆರ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಪ್ರೋಸೆಸಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ವೇದಿಕ್ ಲಿಟ್ರೇಚರ್. ಎವ್ರಿ ಆಚಾರ್ಯ ಇನ್ ಆರ್ಡರ್ ಟು ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟ್ ದೇರ್ ಫಿಲಾಸಫಿಕಲ್ ಪೊಸಿಷನ್, they will have to accept all these things. They have to present in that way, in their own way. They will do that. And it's up to us to take it from there, what suits our own mind, intelligence and our nature. All vasanas inside, all this taking into account is the duty of the person who is pursuing that process, spiritual life. That's why in spiritual life we have so many ways. In Bhagavatam also you can see in so many different devotees with so many different ways of dealing with Krishna. They are all approaching Krishna in different way. Kunti Devi one way, Bhishma in another way, Parikshit in one way, Shuka Brahmarshi in another way, and Uddhava in one way, Gopis in another way. Why these varieties have come among the devotees? They are not all chanting the holy name and going back home, back to God, are they? They are all different. Akrura is different, Ambarish is different, Vritrasura is different. Why this variation? Why this variation has come? Because that is how spiritual life is. That's how spiritual life is. Each one of us eventually, each one of us will fall onto the right track, what suits our nature. What suits our nature. You can't recommend one process that this is for the whole world and it will work. It is not going to work. It will not work also, it's not going to work. That Krishna himself says, I have created these three yoga systems, karma, jnanam, bhakti. If you look into Bhagavatam, I'll show it to you, the verses. He mentions there that in the Ekadashi Skandam, if you look, he says to Uddhava, these three processes which I have mentioned, if you look in the 20th chapter, Krishna is saying, Shri Bhagavan Uvacham, Yogam Strayo Maya Proktam, I have given three yoga systems. Nranam Shreyo Vidhilsayoho. All of them are meant for the Shreyas. Verse 6, chapter 20. Shri Bhagavan Vaja. Yogam Shreyo Maya Prokta Nranam Shreyo Vidhilsaya. What are they? Jnanam Karmam Bhakti. Jnanam Karmam Cha Bhaktischa No Ubayam Anyasti Kutrachil. Apart from these three yoga systems, Krishna is saying, there is no other way. You have to fall within one of these three. Jnanam, Karmam, Bhakti. See the words? Yogam Strayo Maya Prokta Nranam Shreyo Vidhilsaya Jnanam, Karmam, Cha Bhaktischa Nopayo Anyosi Kutrachil. Then he says, Nirvinnanam Jnana Yogo Nyasinam Iha Karmasu Tesha Anirvinna Chitanam Karma Yogastu Kaminam. What suits whom? That's what he's saying here. Nirvinnanam Jnana Yogo, one who is renounced and detached from this world, who has become a little bit inward-looking nature, for him bhakti won't suit. For him jnanam is helpful. And nyasinam iha karmasu, one who is very attached to life and the world, everything, for him karma yogam will suit better. And tesh anirvinna chitanam karma yogastu kaminam. That anirvinna chitanam, that means he is not detached. And karma yoga sukham, and he has desires. If a person is in that state, he has got a lot of desires inside, and he has lot, anirvinna chitanam, and he has got attachment in the world. Lot of attachment in the world, lot of desires inside. For him, Krishna is saying that karma yogam will suit him better, because that is his nature. You can't do anything about it. The man has got desires and man has got attachment. What should he do? Karma yogam is his best way to start with. Eventually it will all end up in bhakti. No question about that. Bhakti is a part of everything. Whether jnana yogam, karma yogam, everything, bhakti is a part of that. Then, verse 8. Yadrachaya malkadha dhau jada shraddhastriya puman na nirvino na adisakto bhakti yogasya siddhidaha. He says, somehow or the other, you heard about Krishna, edrachaya, by accident. You get to know about Krishna. Knowing Krishna means not just knowing the person as such, Krishna's teachings. That's more important. Knowing Krishna's teachings, you got attracted to it. Bhagavad Gita, Ekadasha Skandam, all Vedantam, everything is Krishna's creation, isn't it? From Krishna, others have given it to us. Acharyas have took it and given it to us. But originally comes from Krishna. And when it comes from Krishna, Yadruchaya Malkathasu, you got attracted to the teachings of Krishna. And Jata Shraddhastuya Puman, although the word used is Malkatha, Katha refers to the teachings more than the Leela, what we are talking about. Leela is important, but Katha is actually refers to Tattvajnanam. Tattvam, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam. That's what actually attracts a person, because that's what directly affects us, isn't it? What Krishna has taught us to understand the soul and to how to live in this world in the process of karmam, jnanam, bhakti, all the process what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. This is Krishna's direct instruction to the world. Similarly, Ekadasha Skandam, what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava, that how a person goes through spiritual life and eventually frees himself from this world. And giving an example through Arjuna and Uddhava, Krishna has taught this world about the yoga process, yoga system. So that is how you come to hear about Krishna, through that yoga system. So Krishna is saying, Yadrachaya malkathasau malkathado jada shraddhastuya puman. If he gets attracted and if shraddha becomes strong inside, and na nirvino na disakto, that person has got not got much of a desire, attachment is there, not too much excessively attached, a certain degree of attachment and a certain degree of nirvinam, Adisaktam. Not to attach, not to renounce. That kind of person. For him, bhakti yogosya siddhida. He should start with bhakti, he says. Sadhana bhakti, that is referring to sadhana bhakti. Bhakti yogosya siddhida. So, jnanam, karmam, bhakti, Krishna has made these differences and he has spoken to us. That's what I'm saying, that to think that, you see, one institution will make one propaganda one way, that you can't do anything about it. Every institution will tell you the same thing, that their process is the only process. They will have to say, and they will also find reasons for that. They will say for this age and for this conditions, this is the right method and all. They will always say like that, and they will have always supporting verses also in the Shastram for that. But we, when you come to spiritual life, you also have to look at these things from an independent state. Your own state you have to analyze first. And what is expected from all of us at the end. All those things are matters. That's what I was saying this. That in all spiritual process, you cannot say one is simple and one is easier. That's also very difficult to say. Because whoever got the maturity for that, he will get it. Whoever has the maturity for that, he will get it. That's all it is. Not that one process is very difficult and one process is very easy. I wish it was easy. We had one process like that, which was very easy. I haven't found one yet. So many processes, so many people are saying it's all easy. Only when you start doing it, you realize it, it's not easy. It's not that easy as we think. Because when you say it's easy, it has to, the result has to come, isn't it, at the end. Otherwise, how do you know that it is easy? You keep on doing things what you have been told, that this is what you should do. And we do that every day, day in and day out. And then you start wondering one day, life is coming to an end, where is it going? That question will come at the end, is it not? So, or otherwise, you just have to close your eyes and carry on with what you are doing, not worry about anything. Don't worry about Bhagavatam, don't worry about Bhagavad Gita. Just follow 16 rounds and 4 regs and stay with that and don't worry about anything else. So, but that's impossible sometimes with the mind. Requires some answer to all these questions. So, there is no such thing. One process is easy, one process is difficult. It is your vasana inside will decide that. If your vasana is in the jnana margam, it will go in that direction, no matter what you do about it. So one person asked Buddha, this realization is not something that has to happen sometime later. It has to happen now. If it has to happen now, it has to go in now, not later. That's why we say very strongly that don't write down anything. It's not going to help very much. We are thinking, I'll write it down and put it in the shelf. When I've got a little bit of free time, I'll take it and read it and then realize it. That won't happen. This thing has to happen now. When you hear and when you see the seriousness, urgency of the and the process of realization, if it happens, if it hits you now, it will hit you. If it hasn't hit you now, it may hit you one day. Till then you have to keep hearing. That's the process. So, like Buddha's one disciple asked him, isn't it? How long will it take, he said. Asked after Buddha has realized the truth. Buddha says to him, almost a minute, he said. But then he says, actually 1 minute is too long, 59 seconds long, he said. You only need 1 second to realize it. Because it's that clear, it is, he said. So, 1 second is not even enough, because to know what you already have, it doesn't take even a second. Because it's awareness inside, isn't it? That there's nothing new going to happen, and that realization of that awareness, that is what has to happen inside. And in the Vedantam, that is the most scientific term they use for that is called pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna is the word they use for that. So, you can see, if you give attention, that is the last word in the Vedantam, which is called pratyabhijna. In other words, when your attention has gone away from the seeing, what is seeing, to the person who is seeing. From drishyam to drukka. Drukka is a seer and drishyam is the seeing. At the moment, all our attention is on what we are seeing, isn't it? What is seeing, what is being seen. That's where our attention is. When the attention falls away from what is being seen, when the attention falls on the person who is seeing, that is called a drikka. That drikka, that it is mentioned here, that immediately that is your pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna starts. So, only after that, pratibodha vijidam madam kshanam kshanam prati, that Yani knows completely about his awareness of his existence. So, here you can see that this example, if you go into the 12th canto, what we looked at before, 12th canto, 5th chapter, 5th verse, if you look at how it happened with Parikshit. How it happened with Parikshit. Ghade bhinne yadha akasham akashasyal yadha pura evam dehe mrute jivo brahma sambadyade puna. See that verse? Ghade bhinne yadha akashe akashasyal yadha pura evam dehe mrute jivo brahma sambadyade puna. When the pot breaks down, ghadam, ghadam is the pot. When the pot breaks down, the sky inside the pot becomes the mahakasham, the whole sky. Is it not? When khadakasham breaks, when khadam break, the sky inside that pot, there is no separate then from the sky outside, isn't it? There is no sky inside and outside then. Khadakasham become mahakasham. Khadakasham becomes mahakasham. Mahakasham is the big space. Ghadakasham is the space inside the pot. When you break the pot, the space inside the pot becomes one with the space over total space. Similarly, evam dehe mrute jivo. When the jiva inside the body die, through knowledge, brahma sambadyade puna. Jiva becomes Brahman. Jiva becomes Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi. That's what that state is. Ghade bhinne yathakasham akashasyal yathapura evam dehe mrute jivo brahmam sambadyade puna. And other realization what Parikshit had. This is Parikshit's realizations at the last minute. After Shuka Brahmarshi has spoken to Parikshit. Worthwhile, if you can, those 13 verses in that chapter, only 13 verses. If you read that every day, it's worthwhile, that chapter. Because each one of those verses is the gem of Bhagavatam. Shuka Brahmarshi, how he handed over the realization in a plate to Parikshit. That's what that chapter is. He says, that's what he mentioned. Tuntu Rajan Marishyedi Pashubuddhi Mimam Jehi. You don't die. Na Jataha. You are not born. Praga Bhudodhyam Dehavatthomna Nankshasi. Only body dies, you don't die. Swapne Yatha Nabhivishyasi Bhutvatvam Putra Pautradi Rupavan Bijam Angurava Deha Deher Vidrito Yatha Anala. All that chapter you can read through. So, there is Manas Rajati Vaya and then Gunan Karmani Chalpana. Anyway, the point here is that in the Vedastuti also, you will see here that the important point is that broken, when the pot has broken, the pot has broken, how it becomes the space inside the pot becomes the akasham, mahakasham or space. Does it mix there? It doesn't mix, is it? It's not mixing there. No mixing is happening there. You may call it as mixing. It's not mixing there. In our language we will say this space inside the pot has mixed with the space outside. Ghadakasham has become mahakasham. We may say like that. Mixed we may say. But actually it is not mixed. That sky is there as it was before, and yathapura. So only thing is, the pot has created a limitation to that sky before, And that limitation is gone. It didn't mix. What has gone is that limitation of the clay pot. That is what has gone. That similarly, when this body is there, body is putting a limitation on us. Nothing is changing. That soul inside, you may say that it has gone and mixed with the Brahman. Or even that statement is wrong. It doesn't mix. Ghatakasha, that is why that famous example, Ghatakasham and Mahakasham. Ghatakasham, Ghatam has gone. Similarly, in our case, body is gone. That's all it is. And the soul, that remains as it is, because it was never in touch with the body anyway. It was never touch with the body anyway. So, whatever limitations you have given, like the pot, the limitation is gone. That's all what has happened. And similarly, as long as you have a body, there is a limitation of the body for the soul, isn't it? So, just that you can see also, now we are in the vacant state, you are actually feeling the limitation of the body. In the dream state, what's happening? You have got the limitation of the dream in you, isn't it? It's a limitation on you, the dream. The dream makes you feel that you are something different. You're not on the bodily platform at that time. You're on the limitation of the dream. Limitation of the dream. Similarly, one who has realized the truth, for him, body, mind, intelligence, false ego, when all that goes away from him, that this pure aham, swarupam, inside him, pure chitshakti, without bodham, without any sankalpam or vikalpam or without any blockage inside, and it's getting clear inside, it happens inside, he becomes conscious of that at that time. That's why, if you look into the, who says this? Brahma says this, Lord Brahma. If you look into the 10th canto, Brahma's glorifications, 14th chapter, 28th verse, 10, 14, 28. See what Brahma has to say.
Andarbhave anandabhavandameva hyadatyajando mrgayandi sandaha asandam apyandahim andarena sandam gunamtam kimuyandi sandaha. See the words? Andarbhave nanda bhavandam evam hyadatyajando mrgayandi sandaha asandam apyandahimandarena sandam gunamtam kimuyandi sandaha. Addressing Krishna as Ananda, unlimited, Brahma is saying, devotees, even within their own body, while they have the body, while they are inside the body, at the same time, they reject many things while being within the body, which are all kalpana. Kalpana means it is assumed it existing. That is kalpana. You have given a reality to something which is not real. That's called kalpana. Something is not real, but you have gone a reality to it. What is that? Body, mind, intelligence, ego. All of them are kalpana matram, they call it. From kalpana they have come, they have no real existence like the awareness inside. So therefore, they deny all that things, and he says here, although asandam apyandahim andarena sandam gunantam kimuyandi sandaha, that although the rope is lying there, and you are misunderstood as the snake, rope and snake example. And first of all, before you start realizing it as the rope, you have to come out of that identification with the snake, isn't it? In the darkness, there is a rope lying there. You mistook that as a snake. You misunderstood that as a snake. Inside, you have accepted it as a snake. Now, in order to make that again as a rope to come back, first you have to get out of that snake feeling before you make it as a rope again inside. Is it not? That's what it is talking about.
Asandam apyandahim andarenam sandam gunantam kimuyandi sandaha.
Because that example is taken from the verse 25. If you look there, jnanena bhuyo bijatal praliyate rajva maher bhoga bhoga bhava bhavau yatha raju sarpam nyayam. That is that seeing the rope and mistaking as the snake, that is what has happened in the verse 25. That is the same thing that's spoken there. So here Brahma also saying the atatya jando mrgayandi sandaha. Brahma is saying, first you have to give up what you are not. Before you know that it is a rope, you have to give up that false identity as a snake. Only then, similarly, we have to keep on giving this false identity of body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything. And once you are given up, then when you are given up all that, then you can know that you are awareness. You are the soul. And you have seen the rope, and in the rope you have seen the snake. And if you keep looking at the snake very carefully, afterwards with the torchlight, you looked at it and you realize that it is not snake. So first the snake has gone. And then what you found out, that what it is, a rope. That's how that sequence happens inside, isn't it? Similarly, at the moment I am thinking I am Jiva, and I am so-and-so, or I am man, I am Indian, I am this, I am that, all these kind of things. All these questions. So I cannot do all these things, you may say like that. So, and so many identities, how do I get rid of all that? You can see, if you look at your own identity very carefully, you can see there is no such thing called I inside. What we have is the Purna Vastu, which is Akhandam, the Atma. That's all what is there. I even doesn't exist there. There's no such thing called even I inside. That is only when the realization comes, I goes away completely from inside. Whereas normally, whenever we talk, how do we talk? I did this, I did that, I went there, I told him not to do it, he did that. I, he, they, all these kind of things are there, isn't it? In our conversation. In Vyavaharam, that is why Vyavaharam is full of Ajnanam, Avidya it is. Vyavaharam is full of Ajnanam and Avidya. Once that leaves, then you can see that there is no I also, there is no he also, there is no Shia. What is there is this Purna Satta, Purna Vastu, that's all. So, similarly here, it says, Brihad Ubalabdhamed Avayandi Avasheshadaya. Asking the question, avayandi, avayandi, avasheshadaya. After everything has been removed, taken out, then he knows. Then the question comes, who? Who knows? And how does he know? Because you start seeing that vastu properly. That's all it is. Vastu is there, that's all. In other words, you have rejected everything, body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything. Then who is the person who is becoming aware of everything? That's avayandi avasheshataya yada udayastamayo vigrader udivam vigradad. That is what that word. Yada udayastamayo vigrader udivam vigradad. What he's saying here is that when you have rejected everything, that remainder thing, remainder is also, there is nothing there. There is nobody to know something. What remains at that time is that vastu only. What remains there at that time is the vastu. Vastu, what is that vastu? Satyam param dhimahi. That pure consciousness. That's what is present at that time. And after knowing that, after realizing that, that chit sarupam, chit shakti, you can understand that if you think in another direction also, that in Sushupti state, in deep sleep also, you are giving up everything, isn't it? You are giving up everything. In Sushupti also, what do? We do the same thing. We give up everything. Give up what? Identification with the body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, the senses, everything is happened. Just like, you know, in the vacant state, I am there, body is there, mind is there, I am there, in the vacant state. In the dream state, body is not there, mind is there, I am there. In the deep sleep, body is not there, the mind is not there, I am there. So, here, what is the difference is, that in Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti, the person who says I am, he is not there. He is not there in these states. In the Sushupti state also, the interesting thing in Sushupti is that who is saying I am, ego, inside, isn't it? Jiva. He is not there in the Sushupti state. You have to look at this very carefully. It is this vyakti abhimanam, or in other words, the false ego inside a person who is saying that I am this, I am a brahmana, I am a kshatriya, I am a vaishya, I am a shudra, I am a man, I am a woman, I am a pious person, I am a sinful person, I am a high court judge, or I am a criminal. All these things, who is saying this? This jiva inside, ahangaram. Ahangaram is speaking. And that is what we call as I. We are always saying as I. Actually, there is nothing there. And what is there? What is there at that time then? Whatever that is there, that's it. In Sushupti state, you cannot say there is nothing there. Because person who are thoughtful cannot say that. Because what is there? Only thing is you can't say what is there. You can't say what is there in Sushupti, isn't it? You don't know how to express it, what is there in the Sushupti. Because that experience there, you know one thing, it is perfect, isn't it? That experience in Sushupti state is perfect, because it's Purnam. Why is it perfect? Because you can see, when anybody goes into Sushupti, to deep sleep state, the experience is exactly the same. You can't say your experience in Sushupti will be different from my experience in Sushupti. In deep sleep state, whatever we are experiencing is exactly the same, all of us. So therefore it is said it is perfect. That state is perfect. If they were different, you can say it's not perfect. But because it's the same everyone has, it is perfect. Because what is the reason behind it? What is the proof of that? Because when you wake up, we all say, I want to go back into it. That's the proof. To show that. Why do we say that? Nobody likes if you wake up from a deep sleep, do you? There may be £1,000,000 waiting there. Still, deep sleep is something everybody likes. And when you are woken up, you want to go back into it. Isn't it? So, therefore, this is the simplest logic for that. A simple reason that when you wake up from Sushupti, whether you are an emperor or whether you have all things in this world and you offer them everything, he still prefers to be in that Sushupti state. Suppose it is in that the relief he had in that Sushupti, he can't get it outside when he comes out from that. It's a natural thing in all of us, isn't it? When you have a little stress, you go to bed and you sleep and then you feel the relief from that, everything. That is the last resort for us, all of us. Sometimes people do that, isn't it? When they're completely fed up with everything, there's nothing much you can do about it. What do? Go inside the bedroom, close the door and go to bed. And whenever you have a problem in the life, you tell others also. You sleep over it, we say. Isn't it? So that you don't develop stress on it. What does it mean? You sleep over it. We say like that to people, isn't it? Sleep over it. That means in sleep you will find the solution. If you sleep, you will get the solution. Not that your problem will be solved, that's not what it means, but you will get shandi. That's why it is spoken like that. In England they say like that, isn't it? You sleep over it. That's why. They also know, everybody knows this. Only thing is you won't give any attention to it. That's the only problem. So here, you can see that his choice will be at that time that he prefers to go back to that. This we have to give a lot of attention to this point, because this is one experience we have every day in our life. The Sushupti experience, isn't it? And no matter how big the offer is and what great things are going to happen in life, when you from deep sleep, when you wake up, it is a experience you don't want to lose. You want to get it back as much as possible. That experience of the deep sleep. On the other hand, if you had a bad dream and you woke up, or will you be happy to wake up from a bad dream? You'll always be happy, isn't it, to wake up from a bad dream. So, whereas, if you had a sleep without any dreams, from a deep sleep, when you wake up, you are not feeling happy. From a dream state, when you wake up, you're feeling happy. And from the deep sleep, when you wake up without dreams, you wake up, you are not happy. This is an interesting thing. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? What will he say? Suppose somebody tells you, oh no, you got few more hours to sleep. Somebody has to tell you, that's all. Or what you will do? You'll put your hand in the deep sleep on the time watch, timepiece or something, and press the button. Then don't disturb my deep sleep. You're telling the watch to pressing the button. That's what you are doing actually. So much we are attached to that deep sleep, because just like this awareness inside, the reality, that deep sleep is the reality. That is when we are closer to the truth more than in the vacant state. Vacant state, we have got this body, the mind, the intelligence, ego, everything fighting each other, and we don't know what we are. Sometimes we are the body, sometimes we are the mind, sometimes we are the intelligence, and sometimes we are in the dream state. This is what the life is normally. But in deep sleep, you have thrown the body out, they can't come back, mind cannot come back, intelligence cannot come back, nothing can come back, and that is what is closer to the truth at that time. So, and that's why you are happy at that time. And that is, therefore, you want to go back to the sleep again. So, here, in Sushupti state, sleep is one thing, and the happiness of the sleep is another thing. Don't get mixed up together. Sleep is one thing, and the happiness of the sleep is another thing. When we call deep sleep, we are not calling that happiness. That's not what we are talking about. That we should separate it out within ourselves. Do not get confused with that. As long as you say, so deep sleep means that happiness. No. Deep sleep and that happiness are two different things. Two different things. All these things should be analyzed in a very subtle level. There are books for that. Those who wants to know more. And in very, very subtle level, they analyze these things. Sushmam. Very sushmam. Then, for their benefit, all these things are spoken there. That sleep what you are experiencing at that time, that is tamas, it is tamogunam. Sleep and that happiness, they are two different things. In a very subtle level we are talking about. Sleep is tamogunam. It's the modes of nature. That sleep what you are getting is modes of nature. It is tamogunam, the lowest mode. And laziness. Tamas, alasyam, nidra, these are all tamogunam, isn't it? Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita also. Alasyam, nidra, they are all, that is all in the platform of intelligence. the platform of intelligence that is happening. And you are also saying, I am not aware of anything at that time. That's how you say when you wake up, isn't it? I didn't know anything what is going on. Suppose it has rained heavily and you were in deep sleep. You woke up in the morning and you looked outside and you say, oh, it has rained heavily last night, I didn't know anything about it, you'll say. So you can see here that you are saying that that statement you are making at that time is coming from the intelligence. It's coming from the intelligence. And you are saying, I didn't know anything about it. This whole thing is called sleep. Very interesting, isn't it? When you look at it that way. That you're gone and slept well, deep sleep you had. You woke up in the morning. And when you are analyzing it, that deep sleep state, this is how you analyze it. Sleep and that happiness in the sleep, they are two different things. They are two different things. What is that sleep? Sleep is alasyam, laziness, that ajnanam, avidya, nidra, all that is called, all put together is called sleep. Sleep is that. When you wake up in the morning, when you say that I didn't know anything what happened, all that is from the intellectual level. From buddhi it is coming. From buddhi. Why? It is in buddhi that mode of ignorance was. Ajnanam. Avidya was there in the buddhi, isn't it? Because Krishna says that sattvam, rajasa, tamasa, these three gunam, buddher. It is in the buddhi. That's why Krishna mentioned it like that. It is in the buddhi. Na almana. In the Bhagavatam, it is in the Bhagavatam. If you want to look at it, you can see that. In the verse, in the 11th canto, if you look, you will see. Krishna begins that chapter with that verse. 13th or so. Yeah. 13th chapter. 13th chapter. You remember this chapter, 13th chapter? 13th chapter is when four Kumaras had conversation with Krishna. Hamsa Gita. That is the 13th chapter. So, 13th chapter is beginning like this. Sattvam Shri Bhagavan Vaja. Sattvam Rajasa Tamasa. Three gunam. Iti gunam. Buddha. It is in the buddhi. Na almana. It is not in the soul. Why did Krishna say this? So that you don't misunderstand. That's why when you wake up, when you're making this statement that I didn't know anything about it, that's coming from buddhi. It's not coming from the soul. Out of that, two things. One I told you, the sleep, and the other one is the happiness of that sleep. The sleep and all other associated things are coming from the buddhi and from the avidya ajnanam. The happiness what you have experienced is coming from the soul. It's coming from the soul. That's the deeper understanding of that deep sleep state. So, but that happiness, that is not coming from that tamogunam. That's not coming from the intelligence. That's not coming from the sleep. It's coming from the soul. We think because I have slept, I felt happy. Isn't it? That's how we normally take it. I had a good sleep, so because of that, but we don't understand the subtlety of that sleep, what actually happened in that sleep. In that sleep, what Krishna has done, He has pulled the shutter of everything. Pulled the shutter of the body, shutter of the mind, shutter of ego, He pulled it down. And even the shutter of the intelligence. But intelligence was able to report it, to say that I didn't know anything, that's all. What does it mean? That the shutter was pulled for intelligence as well. That's why intelligence is saying I didn't know anything about it. Do you understand what I'm saying? That when Krishna pulls the shutter for body, mind, intelligence and everything, when the intelligence shutter is pulled down, when you wake up, the first thing you will say, I didn't know anything about it. So, all of them, Krishna has pulled it down and then He gave us happiness in that deep sleep state. And we tasted it and in the morning we came back and we want to go back to Krishna again.
Krishna gave us that happiness. Soul gave us that happiness. Krishna has given us that happiness. That's when we lose all identity and we join Krishna. Krishna, in the Upanishad, it puts it like this. Krishna embraces you and sends you back again to the world, next day morning again, to suffer. You go, now you have your big ego inside, go and do whatever you want to do, and suffer, and then come back in the night, I'll give you another hug, Krishna says. So that's what it is. That is why that happiness is not coming from another, is not coming from intelligence or from the laziness or sleep. Therefore, you can't say that it doesn't have anything. There is something remaining there at that stage. And that is what Krishna calls it here. Brihadubalabdhamedat avayandyavasheshadaya. The only reason this whole chapter is Advaitam. Sridhara Swami, although great devotee, is a Brahmavadi. He did not come from Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. As my understanding is, he came in the Advaita tradition. Therefore, this chapter and Ekadasha Skandam is always accepted as Advaita process. And I can only imagine that that is the reason why Prabhupada has taken Sridhara Swami's commentary as the whole authority for Shuddha Gita. I can't understand any other reason. Because Prabhupada knows that Sridhara Swami has commented this in the Advaita tradition. And that is why every word in this pure knowledge it is. Completely realizing on the platform of knowledge. And it is very interesting when you study these words as the depth of it. How deeper level they have touched the subject. It is very difficult to comment these verses in any other way. You see, these verses, you can't comment it in any other way. It's very difficult. If you do it, it will become awkward. It won't come out well. And Sridhara Swami commented it purely in the Advaita tradition. He has commented this. In the Advaita, this Shuddha Gita as well as Ekadasha Skandam also is like. Ekadasham, of course, there is a mixture of Advaita Jnanam and Bhakti. Advaitam with Bhakti. Practically, he is a Brahmavadi, like every other sages are in that way. So, that is why all these verses are little bit difficult also, require so much explanation, so much reflection. And when you read, listen and reflect, you feel great happiness also from that. Because it does open up the truth inside a lot more. Rather than all the time being on an ignorant level going on in this world without any understanding. Simply thinking that, oh, institution is saying this, let's do all that, whatever they have told us to do. Today say, you wash the pot, you wash the pot. Tomorrow say, you give the class, you give the class. They have, this doesn't work, it doesn't work. If you mix all these things together, it's like destroying the Varnashrama Dharma. That's what it is. And then we are telling the world we need Varnashrama Dharma, but we ourselves are not able to do it. How will it work? So, certain people have the, they are tuned for certain things, isn't it? And that you can't take it away from people. That's their nature. It's in them. That way of reflection, way of thinking, is there. The psyche is like that. You can't take it away from them. So, that's why it mentions like this, that brihadubalabdhamedat avayandyavasheshadaya yada udayastamayo vigrader udiva vigrudad. All the words are Upanishad words. Vigrati, udidam, udayastamayam, brihad, ubalabdham, avayandi, avasheshada. You will see all these words in the Upanishads throughout. Everywhere you will find this in different Upanishads. You don't find them normally in the Katha anywhere. Katha is all elephants and demons and beating them and killing them, all that. That's another story. But this is the principle there. So here, coming back to this, it says here that
we will say like this, that Vikriti, he says here, isn't it? So, what remains, here. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, we talked about that. So, if you ask a question that is it possible to do all these things, then the only thing we can say that those who want, let them do it, those who can't, then we'll have to leave it at that, isn't it? What else can you do? Those who are attracted by all this, studying in this way and finding happiness in that, let them follow that process. You can't force this upon anybody, isn't it? Because our mind is not tuned in that way. So, so what remains at that time, that's what we have seen. What remains at that time, that's what he says here, that astitvam, awareness. Those who have seen that, jnanis, those who have seen that, yada udayastamayau. Yada udayastamayau, he mentions here, isn't it? Yada udayastamayau, vigrader udiva vigradad. So, what is the example for that? How to understand that line? We have understood the first line, brihad ubalabdhamedad avayandi avasheshataya. We have seen that. The next line, yada udayastamayau vigrader udiva vigradad. Think in this way, ordinary example. With the clay pot, with the clay, you make a pot. You make a doll or various kinds of toys. You can make with the clay. With the clay, you can also make different kinds of pots, isn't it? Flower pot, you can make. You can make huge pots where you can store water, water storage. And there are various types of things you can make with the clay. If you break all of them after making them, all of them becomes clay again, isn't it? And then what remains is only clay. Upanishad says, Mrtigatyeva Satyam. In all these pots and different toys what you have made with clay, the only truth in all of them is the clay. Is the clay. Mrtigatyeva Satyam. After you have made the pots, after you have made the toys and various things with the clay, you don't call it anymore clay. You don't call it as clay anymore. What will you say? You can make a deity also with that, isn't it? After you have made a form, Krishna's form, with the clay, you will call it as Krishna. You won't call it as clay anymore, would you? Or you have made the deity of Ramchandra with the clay, then what happens? You call it as Ramchandra or Krishna or Vibhishna or Hanuman or whatever form that is, or Bhima. So, after seeing, when you have seen that form, what you have made with the clay, what is there still? Still there is only clay. Only clay is there. But what you have done is, you have given a form to that clay and started calling it as Rama, Krishna, Shiva, Bhima, whatever that is. Similarly, Krishna also is like that. We call him by Bhagavan, Parameshwara, Narayana, or different forms. We will say Narayana means 400 form, Krishna means 200 form, or Vishnu means he has appeared in 800 form. So then we start calling him Vishnu, Narayana, Krishna, and like that with different names. We call like that, isn't it? But the vastu in all that is the same. Like the clay is the same thing what is used in all the pots and the toys and the deities, everything is clay. And it is still clay only. But you have given a name. Same way, mentions here, that sometimes that clay, it comes to the plane of forms, different forms. Rupatalam, it's called. Rupatalam means it has appeared in a particular form, in a particular plane. It has appeared. On a particular plane, you call it with different names. Narayana, Vishnu, Krishna, Shiva, or whatever names it is, you are calling by that. Yeah? You are calling it like that, but Vastu is the same. It hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. Vastu is the same. Satyambaram dhimahi. Vastu is the same. So, when it comes to form, you start giving them the name and start calling in that way. And when you start calling that thing by the name, you forget about the source. You forget about the source from where it came. Just like the deities and the pots, everything, something we call it as a pot, pitcher, or something we call as a deity, both are made with the clay. At that moment, we don't think about the clay, we think about the name and the form. Name and the form, Rama or Krishna, and the form of Rama and Krishna is important for us, isn't it, at that time. We forget about the other things. So, and if you say to somebody, look, it is nothing, marble only, he'll say, about the deity. Suppose you are standing in front of the deity, and you are paying all your respects to the deity, considering this is Krishna standing in front of me, I pay my obeisances again and again to you, and I make all these offerings to you, please take it and give me the prasadam so that I can have your prasadam and all, one person is saying. Another person who is sitting next to, standing next to him, is saying to him, look, that's only marble, you are asking the marble to do all these things, how will it happen? Next person is asking that question to you, isn't it? So, so in this situation, and if you say that, this person gets upset. You are very offensive. You are criticizing. It's not marble. It is Krishna Prabhu standing in front of you. You say like that, isn't it? So here, what has happened here, if you analyze it, you can see one person has forgotten that it is marble or it is clay. And he has completely identified with it as Krishna or Rama or Shiva, whatever that form it is, isn't it? So, who has forgotten that? He himself has forgotten. That's what has happened. The person who he has forgotten. No, if you ask that person, who has forgotten? The person who has forgotten that it is marble or clay, he is the person who has forgotten that. And if you ask him, who has forgotten that, then that person is also gone. At that time, there is no person anymore there, because you can't say at that time, I have forgotten. What has happened at that time is that when I appear in me, I appear, when I appear in me, me means in the soul, when the Jiva Ahanda appears, it is only at that time you can say this. But the moment you ask, who has forgotten? False ego has gone. Then you realize that there was no man, nothing was forgotten either. In Vyavaharam, when it comes, all these things happen. But when you go into the subtle side of it, you can see there nothing was happening there. What was happening was, falsely I identified with my body, and falsely I identified as Krishna that form, and falsely identified with marble Krishna. Everything was on a false platform, it's happening at the moment, isn't it? Then, so deity worship, when you understand, you have to understand in a particular way that deity is also Krishna. Everything else is Krishna in this world. There is nothing what is Krishna, what is not Krishna. You can't show anything outside Krishna here. So therefore, Krishna is there in the deity also. But you also have to accept this logic behind it, that if somebody says to you that in that marble you are worshipping, you can answer him, I am taking this marble as Krishna's manifestation, worshipping him. But if you start saying that, oh, it's not marble, it's Krishna, then there is a problem. It is Krishna and it is marble also at the same time, is it not? So if you ask this question at that time, that, oh, I have forgotten it was marble, I thought it's Krishna. Then you ask the question, who has forgotten? Then that person also disappears. was forgotten. Was forgotten because it was the false ego who was doing all this vyavaharam with the other person. Not the self, was it? It is your false ego who was communicating with the other false ego, who was seeing this as marble, with whom we were having the conversation here. And that is what that line is talking about. Yada udayastamayo vigrader udiva vigridad. That is how subtle that line is. Yada udayastamayo vigrader udiva vigridad. It's saying here that vigridi means changing the form. Changing the form. Avigridam means not changing the form. Vigridi means changing the form. Avigrida means not changing the form. Just like with gold, you can make the chain, you can make bangles, you can make the ring, you can make the anklets, you can make the belt, and you can make the chain also. So many things. With the same gold, you can make it, isn't it? And and some people, you made all these things for a wedding, for example. You got all these things done. And some people liked it. And some people didn't like it. Some people said, I like this chain, or I like this ring, or I like this bangle. Some people liked something, some people didn't like it. So, so when few people discussed each other, and they picked up some of them which everybody liked, those ones they didn't like, they took it home, put it in a box and locked it and kept it at home. And in Vyavaharam, when it comes to Vyavaharam, we have this difference, isn't it? But if you ask somebody, do you like it? He will say, I like everything because it's all gold. As far as value is concerned, they are all gold. So it doesn't matter. And they give the example that in Ramayanam and Mahabharatam, there are so many personalities, isn't it? Suppose you have made all of them with gold. You made the form of Krishna, Arjuna, Duryodhana, Dushasana, Bhima, all in gold you have made. Then you also made Ravana, Vibhishana, Kumbhakarna, Ramchandra, Sita Devi, all in gold. And you had an exhibition of Ramayanam and Mahabharatam. And you have put all these in your showcase and kept it. And outside, for people to know what that form is, you have put a name outside. This is Ramchandra, this is Lakshmana, Sita Devi, Hanuman. Similarly, Krishna, Rukmini, Radharani, Satyabhama, like that, all different forms. And then Vibhishana, Duryodhana, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, everybody there. All the forms, you put them all with the names attached to it. So people are coming to see the exhibition. So the devotees are seeing, they only want to pay their obeisances to whom? To Ramchandra, to Krishna, Radharani, Rukmini, they are paying their obeisances. When they see Ravana, Kumbhakarna, he is the one. They look at him like that, and I don't like him, Kamsa. He looked at him, and looked at him in a disgusting mood, and walked out from there. He paid obeisances to all the devotees' forms, he paid obeisances. Others, he did not even, not only paid obeisances, he didn't pay obeisances to them, but he even looked at them in a very contemptuous mood and walked out from there. In the night, about 9 o'clock, the exhibition was over. About midnight, a thief came in. He got a bag with him. He wants to steal things. He didn't pay obeisance to Rama, Krishna, Ravana or anybody. He took everybody and put them in the bag and he left. For him, what is important? Gold is important, not the form. For the devotee, what is important? Form is important, not the gold. See the difference there? It is like that. That is how it is. That is what that word is talking about. It says here that that you won't pay obeisances to Duryodhana, would you? You will see like that. Similarly, and also you don't want to look at him. You don't like seeing him. So, and if by chance, if somebody pays obeisance to Duryodhana, you will stop him saying that, look, you don't pay obeisance to Duryodhana. You will stop him from paying obeisance, isn't it? Or Ravana, for that matter, because they are the baddies. We only want the goodies, isn't it? So not only that, you may have brought some sweets or flowers with you. You will only offer to Ramchandra, Krishna, Radharani, or whoever that form you have liking. And you won't even offer anything to Ravana. You'll be standing there starving. And you'll be standing there. You will offer and you will take it home very carefully and give it to everybody. Here is the prasadam I brought from the temple. I offered to the deities there and I brought, this is the prasadam. You will give it like that. And you will make sure that you have no prasadam mixed with from Ravana or Kumbhakarna or anything. Isn't it? So same way, Vyavaharam is concerned, and Vyavaharam is concerned that you may say that I am happy with Rama, Krishna, or Satyabhama, or Rukmini, or Radharani, or whatever it is. Because if everything, all these deities are of equal weight, if they are the equal, we won't accept Duryodhana and Ravana. You may not take it. Preference will be, suppose you are given a choice to choose from that. You will take Rama or Krishna, if they are equal weight, I'm saying. But the one who has come to thief, one comes to steal, for him there is no preference, isn't it? For him, Duryodhana and Ravana, he may prefer more. Because he will see that Ravana has got 10 heads and he weighs more than others. So, whatever weighs more, he will take that and put it in his bank. Isn't it? Why? There he is only looking at the gold, whereas the others are, devotee is looking at the form. Looking at the form. He is not looking the emotions in that form. When we have the emotion, when we look at the form, what happens? Some emotions develops inside. Some emotions develops, isn't it? Bhakti, you can call it as bhakti, or shraddha, or a feeling of reverence, everything happens inside. But in the case, that is due to looking at it in that way, due to the emotions. But the vastu, gold, it has no vikaram, it has no emotions in the vastu. Vastu is gold. Gold is the same gold in Ravana, same gold in Duryodhana, same gold in Krishna, same gold in Ramachandra also. There is no vikaram in there. Vikaram is always in the rupam, in the form. And that is why it mentions there, udiva vikritad. That's what that means. Yada udayastamayo vikrider udiva vikritad. See that? Udiva vikritad means that all the vikarams does not happen in the goal, it happens in the form. Udiva vikritad. Udiva vikritad. Vikaram, all rupam, all form, which we call as Krishna, Rama, or any other form we address as, it's all vikaram it is. That you have given that vikaram in you, you have put it on that form. That's how it has become Krishna. So that's what it is saying here. So it mentions here, similarly, now how to bring it to this world. If all the same, the same principle, in the same way, it is same Krishna who is everywhere in the Prakriti, in the, and it is all made of the same material, like the gold. It's all made of the same material. And this is a material example. This is what we have spoken about. In the material example, that means that we have given identification to different things in this world, isn't it? So, but the vastu who is behind everything is what? It's Krishna. It is Krishna. And we address as the soul, satta, isn't it? So, udiva vikritad. In other words, when any vikaram or any emotions or when anything in this world, when it is perceived by a realized soul, he does not go away with the emotions that is created by the object, or the vikaram that is created by the object. He is not affected by that. He is seeing it in that way. On the other hand, not being vikriti. There's a word used there, vikriti, you can see. Yada udayastamayo vikrider udiva vikritad. Vikrider udiva vikritad, it says. Because of the vikriti, that vikriti is is one. But udider vikritad, the vikritam that's coming from there are different. Vikritam is all the emotions that's coming. Vikriti is one. Just like in the case gold. Gold is the vikriti there, isn't it? So, jnani's experience is little different in the sense when it comes to anubhava mandalam. Anubhava mandalam means its field of experience. First thing he takes as the basis is sushupti state. Sushupti state. There, in that sushupti state, if you talk about gold, bangles, ring, and chain, if you say all these things, you won't understand. In that mandalam, in the sushupti state, isn't it? Similarly, the satta or essence inside is the same thing, same one thing only. Whatever that is changing in us, that thing is not changing. Like gold, that's not changing. And it is in this awareness that this whole creation is happening. This is a metaphysical side of the Vedantam. It's like this, that in that awareness is the world existing. Suppose you have no awareness, this world doesn't exist for you, isn't it? World doesn't exist for you. So, that is why mentions there that bodham, if awareness was not there, the world will not be there. See how important the awareness is? We have to study this awareness all the time. By studying the awareness, what happens is, you start understanding what you are. It comes out from that. Just like they give the example in the desert, when you go, there is water far away. You see that, but you know, standing here, there is no water. It's only a perception there that there is water. Mirage, isn't it? Maru Marichiga, they call it mirage. There is water far away, you feel. But you know, in reality, there is no water there. Similarly, or in the screen, the cinema is going on, but behind that there is a screen, and you know the screen. Once who knows the screen, he won't know the cinema. One who knows the cinema, he won't know the screen. He won't know the screen. So, similarly, in pure consciousness, which is by nature Satta Chitta Anandam. Sachidanandam is that consciousness. Consciousness is Sachidanandam. Normally we say, we are eternal, we are full of bliss, we are full of knowledge. We say that, don't we? Everybody says that, isn't it? Devotees also say that. Sachidanandam, Sachidanandam. But if you give those three definitions, Satta Chitta Anandam, what does it mean? What is the form of Satya Chittanandam? How will you explain that? So form is not that important. It's the quality that is important. The characteristics. That's why it is spoken like that. That just like in the cinema is happening on the screen. In that awareness nature is Satya Chittanandam. That is the identity of the awareness. Awareness is Sachidanandam. And in that awareness is where you are experiencing this world. Even the world you are experiencing in the awareness, isn't it? That same awareness, what you are telling, you are existing. that powerful force that's coming from the Chit Shakti, it is in that awareness you are experiencing this world as well. And there you are experiencing the body, the mind, the intelligence, the false ego. Everything is nothing but a drama that is or a cinema that is going on in that awareness. Awareness is the screen. All mind, body, intelligence, ego, these are all the actors. They are all playing their drama in that awareness. So, here, this is not a Siddhantam. Siddhantam is something that philosophized knowledge. This is not that. This is the anubhuti of a person who is realized, self-realized. Remember yesterday we talked about that verse when Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that while talking about Karma Yoga, he mentions that, isn't it? What did he say? he says there that action in inaction, that verse. Karmanohyabhi bodhavyam bodhavyam cha vigarmana agarmanascha bodhavyam gahana karmanobadi. Karmanehyabhi bodhavyam bodhavyam cha vigarmana agarmanascha bodhavyam gahana karmanogadi. And in the next verse he says what is that? Karman agarmaya pashel agarmani cha karmaya sabuddhiman manushyeshu sayukta krishna karmakrit. The person who has completely realized those two verses will be like this. Only thing is, through the process of karma, he has reached that realization. Because only in this state, he can have that consciousness. Only in this realized state, he can have that consciousness. Karmanya karmaya pashyel. And there Krishna mentions one important thing. What is that? Gahana karmano gadi. If you just remember that, you won't get disturbed over anything when anything wrong goes wrong in this world. Gahana karmano gadi. Krishna put it in three words. That how karma will manifest, nobody knows. Krishna is saying that. Gahana karmano gadi. Just like he mentioned about Maya in the same way, isn't it? Devi Heshagunam, Mama Maya Durateya. Two things. Mama Maya Durateya, Gahana Karmano Gadi. Two things. There is very key verses in the Bhagavad Gita. One, Gahana Karmano Gadi. When things go wrong, you don't understand it, why it has happened like that. People always ask the question. When earthquake, floods and all these things happen, people say, why this has happened to us? Answer is, Gahana Karmano Gadi. Karma is there behind it, but similarly war happens, big war happens, lot of people get killed. How do you explain that? Gahana karmano gadi. Krishna is saying that. So, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about five things at the end, isn't it? Living entity, if you read Bhagavad Gita, you will see that at the end. At the end, you will see five things he mentions. Remember? In the 18th chapter, he says, Adhishtanam, the verse 13, 18th chapter. Panjaidani Mahabaho Karmani Nibhodame Sankhye Kritande Proktami Siddhaye Sarva Karmanam. O mighty armed Arjuna, according to Vedantam, there are five causes for the accomplishment of all actions. Now learn of these from me. So, there he says there, and in the, and he says, if you read there, then you will see that these things should be accepted. O mighty Arjuna, according to Vedantam, I don't know, it's the same in every, it's not, is it? It's different. They've changed it, you see. What does it say here? They've combined those two words, they've separated it here. I see. Panjaidani Mahabaho, I'll keep both the books. So, that's the best answer to that. So, Yeah, one second. Here, Krishna is saying, like, take for example verse 13. Panjaidani Mahabaho Karanani Nipotami Sankhi Kridande Proktani Siddhaye Sarvakarmanam. So, what's interesting here is, Mighty Armed Arjuna, in the old edition it says, in Prabhupada's book, learn from me of the five factors which bring about the accomplishment of all actions. Learn of this from me, he says. And he mentions here that a question may be raised, and there he mentions that, O mighty armed Arjuna, in this original, this is the one which I suppose which was printed in 1980 or something. This one. What they have done, I can tell you what they have done. What they have done is, in this new edition, they have mentioned according to Vedantam. In the old one, Prabhupada's translation, there is no Vedantam. Jayadvaita Maharaj has brought Vedantam into it. Because he knows also, I can't say it's wrong what he has done, because it is in the Vedantam these things are spoken very explicitly. It will answer, because if you are looking for logic, you need Vedantam there. Otherwise, it's not possible to justify this. Vedantam is more deep-rooted on based on the verse. So, what he has done, he has brought Vedantam there into the verse in this chapter. And not only that, he mentions there that other things are all okay. He says Sankhya means the stock of knowledge, and Vedantam, he says here, Vedanta is the final stock of knowledge accepted by all leading acharyas. Says there. And then he says, Shankaracharya accepts Vedanta Sutram as such. Therefore, such authority should be consulted. It's mentioned here. So we won't be put into prison for that, at least. So, because normally it is not acceptable to consult such things, isn't it? It's considered to be bad. But it is a difficulty, actually, when you say things like that. And therefore, and then he says, Adhishtanam tatha karta karanam cha pradak pidham vividhascha pradak cheshta devam chaivatra panchamam. Devam chaivatra panchamam. Place of action of the body, the performance, the various senses, the many different kinds of endeavor, and ultimately the super soul. There are five factors of action. Isn't it? And there are five kinds of action. So, there are the five factors of action, it mentions there. And similarly, you will also see in another place the referring to it is in the introduction if you look. Prabhupada mentions there, in the introduction. Prabhupada mentions there that what is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita, he says there. If you read that, you will see, notice that. There he mentions there that, he says, this is in the small new book, is page 11. There is this the introduction, so many chapters there. So you will see here in one chapter, in that introduction, he says in one paragraph, Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kalam and Karma. Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kalam, Karma. These are the, Prabhupada says here, these are the things explained in the Bhagavad Gita, these five things. Out of that five, two important ones are Karmam and Prakriti. Prakriti means nature. Nature means Maya. One same thing. Maya is addressed here as Prakriti. So, Prakriti and Karmam are two important of the five. The remaining three are Ishvara, Jiva and time. Ishvara, Jiva, Kalam, Prakriti, Karmam. Five things. Out of that, Ishvara we don't know. Krishna is Ishvara, but we don't know at the moment. Isn't it? Krishna is Ishvara. We don't know about it. So, about Krishna. Jiva also we don't know. We are the Jiva. very subtle thing. Jiva is subtle thing, Ishvara is also a subtle thing. Then, kalam, time is an unknown factor. And karmam, unknown again. And prakriti is also unknown. Unknown to us, all these five things. And that is what is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. Ishvara, karmam, kalam, prakriti and jiva. And out of these five, these two, very difficult to understand what Krishna is saying is, one is karmam and the other one is prakriti. Prakriti, as Krishna mentions there, is very difficult to overcome. Mama maya duratyaya, he said. And karmam, Krishna says, gahana karmano gati. Even though these are the topics that is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying to us that karmam is difficult to understand, prakriti also is difficult to understand. Gahana karmano gati, as well as Krishna is saying to us that mama maya duratyaya. If you keep those things in mind when studying Bhagavad Gita, you will get a better feel for Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, without knowing all these things, just taking verse after verse after verse and saying that this is what the translation, this is the purport, nothing more than that I will accept, that won't work. Because these five factors are subtle elements, isn't it? Ishvara is subtle, Jiva is subtle, Kalam is subtle, Prakriti is subtle, Karma is subtle. Everything is so subtle. And that's what is discussed in the whole book, all the way through. So while understanding Bhagavad Gita, like we study Bhagavadam, we also have to know the background of all these different things. The nature of time, nature of prakriti, nature of karma, to an extent possible, so that you would not get affected by the message what Krishna has given there. So, it is a long topic, it's a big topic, it takes a lot of time also. So today we'll stop now. And what we'll do, when we come, if everything goes well, in December, the last week, I think we have one week, we have booked the hall. At that time, we'll continue with Shruti Gita. Till then, on Saturdays, we'll continue at Vishnu's place, Bhagavad Gita. And on Sunday, we'll continue with Bhajagovindam. And after Bhajagovindam, a few more classes. And then probably we'll continue with Bhagavad Gita on Sundays as well, Saturday and Sunday. And till we hear Bhagavad Gita well, deeper Vedanta philosophy will be very difficult to digest. But Bhagavad Gita is a presentation of Vedantam in a very nice way, in the sense that all those chapters that we have now on the 8th chapter, we have got 9, 10, then 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. They are the Jnanamargam of the Bhagavad Gita, Jnanam process. Once that is more or less assimilated, it will make easier for the remaining parts of Srimad Bhagavatam, which comes in the 11th canto, where we have stopped now on the 28th chapter. So to move further, this background of Bhagavad Gita will be a great help, because Bhikshu Gita, Aila Gita, and a lot of discussion between Krishna and Uddhava is all based on the Jnanam process, Jnanamargam it is. So therefore Bhagavad Gita is once again necessary to go through it. So what we'll do on Saturday we'll have Bhagavad Gita as usual at Vishnu's house. And on Sunday also, when we finish Bhajagovindam, we'll continue with Bhagavad Gita, Saturday and Sunday. In that way, we'll go up to Christmas, and Christmas holidays 1 week, we'll discuss the remaining part of Shuddha Gita, what we have to continue. And then we'll see from there further. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.